and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oops. Instead of Rick Perry moment.
Take that, Al Jazeera lawyers. I've got my theme song back.
That's right.
6 minutes after the hour. It's still the Stephanie Miller Show, just with a lot less lighting now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For the moment.
I like
Thank
it.
God.
Was it always this dark in here?
It was.
Before
yes.
TV? Really?
Yes, it was.
We're back to the old horse-drawn radio days. I feel like I need a miner's helmet.
I know.
It's mood lighting.
Radio. It's what I'm built for. I'm not really built for TV.
You did not tell me till after we were already on that we're on the Ustream cameras?
Well, yeah. We only have one Ustream camera right now, and it's on my laptop.
So no one saw
here.
Me flipping the bird.
They might have.
At fictional lawyers that said we could not play talking, Walking on Sunshine anymore? Okay.
You know why that was?
Why?
Okay. They paid for a year's worth of that.
And we expired.
And we expired, and they didn't feel like paying for any extra.
Are my angry, crotchety old woman card expired? Is that what happened? And I could not, I no longer could afford Walking on Sunshine. All right.
Oh, I don't have time for this.
No.
I have to go buy a single piece of fruit with a coupon and then return it, making people wait behind me while I complain.
Mm-hmm. Yes. All right. That wasn't it. But anyway.
Yeah.
All right. Sexy liberal John Fugel saying next hour. Yeah. And we will have exciting news on our new television outlet soon.
Yes.
So that's all the good news.
But so they'll get used to this.
Yeah. So the lights
don't
will go
get
back
used to the lack of lighting. But, but right now it's kind of fun, right?
Yeah.
It's like the olden days.
Mm-hmm.
It's the old-timey days.
Old-timey radio.
And I said, ironically, I look much better in this lighting now that I'm not on TV.
Yeah, but the shadows are a little harsh on you.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, you mentioned that. That was nice.
Yeah.
Really? Yeah. Bad angles for a woman of my advanced years?
You know what? It's a ball cap. The ball cap just hides your entire face in shadow.
Well, that's for a reason, yes.
To hide the harsh shadows on your face.
Listen, if we had stayed, I would have had to have a burqa, so
yeah.
You know. Would have had the beekeeper outfit.
We can make fun now.
Now we can joke because,
What's nya in Arabic?
Oh, stop it now. There, now. We wish everybody well. Okay.
Whatever.
And I tried explaining to the lawyers that Katrina said we could use it.
Right, Katrina's our friend. And, I don't know that I've met a wave.
Katrina
and the
waves.
I've not met a wave, but Katrina was lovely.
Yes.
Yes.
And she said we could use it.
Right.
Oh, God.
Right, that was a tense series of emails, Chris.
Oh, you should have been on the phone call that I had with them. Who said you could do that?
Jingly, jangly.
I think Ron called me afterwards and said, what happened?
What? Who exactly?
And who is this Katrina person?
Place with the Al Jazeera lawyer, exactly. All right.
Oh, God.
Hey, God.
But we couldn't talk about
Jackie Schechner, we sent a lovely dozen red roses, and she texted us a picture of her cat, Emmy, next to her roses. We sent her roses to thank her. And she'll be coming on as a guest to do healthcare corners and such. Until we know about our new TV home and yada, 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 all that stuff.
Yep.
All right. What time is it? Someone else, Bob Filner, has sexually harassed someone else.
Yes.
This time
again?
A great-grandmother.
Wow.
Didn't you know someone was going to do the Blurred Lines parody? Did you see that on TV? With
no.
Filner? They put Filner's head in, in the... They did a little parody, everybody. Yes, a great-grandmother has come forward. You know, I have to say one thing. I have to say one thing about guys on our side, on liberals. They don't go for the bimbos.
No.
Yeah? A lot of women of substance that he sexually harassed. You got to give it to him for that. Liberal men not as threatened by smart women.
He liked them a little sturdy.
They're not hotsy-totsies, you know. All right, well,
neither is he.
Just saying. Well, another lawyer came forward?
Perhaps they're just people who like their facelift.
He looks like a flounder coming at you with a tongue hanging out.
I know. Maybe it is just women that have their faces look particularly dirty. That he was trying to be helpful in some way.
Trying to lick it off like a cat cleaning you.
Right. Well, you know how sometimes you do the mom spit on your hand and go like that. He was just...
Using his tongue.
He just missed that step about going to his hand with the spit. He just... Here, I'll get it.
I don't think that came up in any of the instances. It's 16 instances now.
Oh, is that what we're up to?
Yes.
A great-grandmother held a news conference yesterday with, shockingly, Gloria Allred. Has she been involved in this sort of thing before? Did she know there were going to be cameras? Anyway, alleging she is a sexual harassment victim of Mayor Bob Filmer in San Diego.
Well, who isn't at this point?
Right? Exactly. It's easier to...
That's a pretty big club.
Is there a woman in San Diego? Who's listening right now? Is there anyone that has not been sexually harassed by Bob Filmer at this particular hour? Allred said the woman worked at the senior citizen service desk in the lobby. Oh, dear. Of the city administration building. Earlier Thursday, you're right, attorney Catherine Vaughn became the 15th woman to come forward with sexual harassment.
Right.
So that would... So great-grandmother makes it 16. All right. Nicely done.
Never mind. I'm not
what?
Gonna,
what? What?
She kind of looks like Mama June, you know, Honey Boo Boo's mom.
Oh, great. Now you're going to visually harass her.
I told you I wasn't going to say that.
Oh, after.
I told you.
After. Has she not been through enough?
You
said Honey Boo Boo's mother looks like a thumb, and that's just mean.
Well, she does.
A thumb with eyes.
A thumb with very squinty eyes.
It's just y'all are mean.
You
she
y'all leave my little girl alone.
See, Jim, if we were on camera, Jim was doing a little puppet thumb
show. I did it for the Ustream.
Okay. Are only you on Ustream, Vanity Man?
Would you like to set up? Would you like to build a table to put it on so that you can have a perfect? Oh my God!
Yes, we've all gotten very vain now from our time on television.
So vain.
You're in my light.
Ready for my close up? What was I going to say? Peggy Shannon is her name. 67-year-old great grandmother.
Yeah.
She said Mayor Bob Filmer kissed her on her lips.
Yeah.
And repeatedly asked her out and called her his girl. Okay. Here she is.
Mayor Filmer started coming by my desk several times a day.
God, really?
He would take my hand and talk about us getting together the next weekend. I knew he was engaged, and I felt very shocked and upset that he would think I would go out with him.
Wow.
Oh. Bless her heart. Is Jessica Catandy still alive? We better start.
No, she's not. No.
Okay. People better be on the lookout is all I'm saying.
Jessica Catandy doesn't look like Mama June.
No. Okay, that's just sad.
What?
She sounds like a kindly old grandma.
Yeah, with bright red hair.
Aw, it's kind of sweet, just him picking up one liver-spotted hand. Ugh.
She's 67, right. She's not that
right.
Ancient.
I'm close.
I know you're close.
Shut up.
What? You're only 15 years away from that.
And Jim will still be sexually harassing me.
Yeah.
I can count on that.
I hit you with my walker, Shunny.
Jim has kind of a low bar, too, so I have that in my old age.
Except for Janiqua. She is gorgeous, lovely, and...
She is.
Yeah.
She is. Jim. All right. He only sexually harasses me because I'll fire him if he doesn't.
That's true.
Okay.
It's in my contract, actually.
Right. Right. Cupping. Just, it's a light cupping.
It's not
really like a groping. He has really good hands. He's giving me massages.
Right.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah. This is...
Right.
Subtle difference between cupping and groping.
Right, exactly. Jim has a very nice touch, ladies. I just want to pass it on.
Great.
All right. He can give Filmer some tips, is all I'm saying. He's given me neck massages, and they're really, really good massages. They're not creepy, pervy ones.
Like a George W. Bush, Angela Merkel massage?
Right. No. It's,
yeah.
Jim's really good.
Yeah.
And we all know what he can do with his mouth. I mean... Just from the impressions alone.
He can lick you on the cheek with it.
And right here.
Saliva drip down.
You could ask him to do William F. Buckley tongue.
William F. Buckley Jr. There are no cameras.
Nobody can see you.
To see my tongue.
Okay, that'd be gross. That'd be gross with that dirty little snake tongue.
Lizard tongue, yeah.
Really hitting you on the cheek. Just, oh, stop it. All right. This is I don't know what to say. Conservative group wrings its hands over Fox's new pro-gay agenda.
What?
Led by Megyn Kelly. What now? Yeah, I know that made me hot for a second. I was like, what? She's not gay. She's straight. But they're saying that apparently this group's taste. Fox News has gotten entirely too gay-friendly.
By acknowledging that gays exist?
Apparently.
That's really all Megyn Kelly has done.
Apparently. This is awesome. Yeah, this is the awesome. A new study from a group called America's Survival. Oh, I see. America's Survival, thus...
Depends on us getting rid of the gays.
Right.
Okay.
Depends on Fox News'
And Russian survival.
Right.
Yes.
Depends on Fox News' homophobia, apparently.
Sure.
And they're not doing it correctly for America. What's his name? Cliff Kincaid. That guy's the head of America's
I'm not familiar with his oeuvre.
His work? I don't know that that's would be the word you use.
Or his favre.
Oeuvre.
Oeuvre.
Or his genre. You study.
Whoa!
Oh, pardon
or his
grandma.
Sartre.
From the group America Survival laments the egregious pro-homosexual advocacy
egregious.
Of Fox's new primetime host, Megyn Kelly. Mm-hmm. The group sees a
maybe she's
devious...
trying to tell you something. Maybe she's sending you a...
Well, maybe she's sending me
message
coded messages. Howdy do, Megyn.
Damn.
Come on down.
Oh, Lord.
Just kidding. The group sees a devious shift in Fox's treatment of the homosexuals via their removal of Sean Hannity from the 9 p.m. spot.
Ha ha.
Look what the homosexuals have done to him.
Yeah, look what the homosexuals have done to Sean. Oh, that hair
look
alone.
What the homosexuals
horrible.
Have done to me.
I can tell you right now, not one single homosexual has ever touched his head to make that
yeah,
hair look like that.
Yeah, who's going to go, oh, that Fred Flintstone looks fabulous. I love it. Let's make it squarer.
Yeah, I can guarantee you.
I modeled this after a Rock'em Sock'em robot. Isn't it awesome? Fabulous.
Maybe a lesbian touched it.
Is there a way to make your head squarer? See, we used to be friends, but now he says mean things about me all the time.
He does.
Screw him.
Yeah.
Okay. America Survival writes, pushing Sean Hannity out of the 9 p.m. slot to make way for pro-homosexual advocate Megyn Kelly is another sign of the channel's leftward drift and decline.
Wow.
Oh my God. Oh, my God.
That's
really?
Hilarious.
The world has got a wormhole has now opened in the universe. The report includes a lengthy section entitled Fox News Joins the Pro-Homosexual Media Bandwagon, in which the group wrings its hands over how Fox has increasingly adopted a libertarian brand of conservatism that eschews or downplays social issues, especially homosexuality, as too divisive. The emergence of this neutral or shallow coverage of homosexuality
shallow?
Has been exacerbated what? By the pro-LGBT advocacy of hosts like Kelly, Bill O'Reilly?
What?
And uh-huh. Shepard Smith. All right.
Well, oh, well, Shepard
well,
Smith.
Well, they're...
Piece of carrots, piece of carrots. We're the biggest. We're the biggest. Each pro-gay Fox host has their own special section in the report in which ASI chronicles the many ways these on-air personalities defile conservative values and whatnot.
And
the
whatnot.
The authors suggest...
That's the worst part,
Shepard Smith is the next...
Shepard Spit?
How do you know?
I certainly wouldn't know.
No, you wouldn't know.
No, I'd be the last to know.
Yeah.
You might know.
I wouldn't know.
The authors suggest Shepard Smith is the next Anderson Cooper for being what they deem a closeted homosexual.
Oh,
what?
Shocking.
Shepard Smith is a closeted homosexual?
What? That's what ASI says.
I don't think there's much closeted there.
No?
I think he's the best reporter on Fox.
I just don't think
he is, actually. Yeah.
I just don't think he calls attention to it.
In another section, Fox News Sunday host Chris Wallace is lambasted for exploring the possible homophobia of certain Republican congressmen. Corrupt. Even popular talk show The Five is described as 5 for 5 pro-homosexual. Yikes! But much of the pearl-clutching, save for Megyn Kelly, after all, she was the harlot who set O'Reilly up for his infamous Bible Thumpers remark, ASI cites the below passage from her 2012 interview with an evangelical pastor as clear-cut evidence of her devilishly pro-homosexual agenda.
Devilishly?
Devilishly. Here's what she said, which actually... It probably made entirely too much sense for Fox News. This country has a long history of discrimination against certain groups. This is devilishly pro-homosexual music.
Sure.
Eventually, we wind up getting it right? Against women, against blacks, the civil rights movement, and so on. And in justifying that discrimination when it was in place, some folks turn to the Bible and turn to their religious beliefs and say we have to have slavery because it's in the Bible. Women have to be second-class citizens because that's in the Bible. Blacks and whites can't get married because that's in the Bible. That wound up in a case, and the judge wrote that in his opinion, which the Supreme Court ultimately struck that down, saying that's not right, Judge. The Equal Protection Clause says you can't do that. Why is gay marriage any different? Wow! I want to gay marry Megyn Kelly. That made way too much sense for Fox News. I can see why that upset people with America's Survival and
whatever.
Slavin and Sons. All right, 20 minutes after the hour, by the way, when we come back, a Russian anchor came out live on TV.
Yeah.
Oh.
And was similarly.
You're fired.
We'll talk about that.
That's actually kind of sad.
I know.
Yeah.
As we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
A beautifully wrapped, glossy, sweet-smelling show.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Nasty dog.
Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 25 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Fridays with Bugle Sang coming up at the top of the hour. Hour number two. All right. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Yeah, could I have some Russian music, please? So the we were talking about this Russian TV anchor. This is awesome, except that, of course, he got fired.
Yeah. And now his life is in danger because he lives in Russia.
Yeah, but what a brave guy. This issue is taken on... And just huge international importance, the whole, the Olympics, all of that stuff. Russian TV anchor fired after coming out as a gay man. He's like the gay network. He's the gay Russian network. I want if you could have a picture with a Russian accent. I'm mad as hell and I'm not.
Oh, that,
okay,
yeah.
Right.
I'm mad as hell and not thinking anymore.
Did he say that? That'd be awesome.
I think
he
added a girlfriend to it. Girlfriend.
If you're...
Divochka.
Right, right. I want you to open your window right now, stick your head out, and say, нет.
Say, что это?
Нет.
Нет. Ничего.
A Russian... I just watched that again this weekend, Network. What an awesome movie. It really is.
It is a great movie.
Oh, my God. Faye Dunaway, always terrifying. Terrifying when we see her at our gym.
Yes.
Yeah.
Really?
The B Celebrity Gym. Yeah, I've seen her at the B Celebrity Gym. Yeah.
Why can't you give me...
That was her at the bench press.
So
she says to her trainer.
Right. That's when you don't wipe the sweat off the
right,
bench press.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yikes.
Look out.
Right?
Is she there with her mother? Sister, daughter, mother, sister, daughter, sister, mother.
Right. All of them. All
okay.
of them.
Yeah.
We're all doing all different movies, just rolling into one. Okay. A Russian TV anchor was fired almost immediately after coming out as a gay man during a broadcast last week. He said, I'm gay and I'm just the same person as you, my dear audience, as President Putin. Oh, bam! As Prime Minister Medvedev and the deputies of our Duma, the anchor Anton Kraskovsky, close enough, said directly into the camera during last Friday's broadcast. Within hours, he was notified by a text. Oh, don't you hate when that happens?
Yeah.
That the Kremlin-backed network had terminated his employment. The clip of his coming out was also scrubbed from the network site and YouTube account. Oh, I see. They disappeared that, so that never happened. Yeah.
I noticed in some of the signs there, with my limited knowledge of the Cyrillic alphabet, that they've adopted the word gay as well, as has the Pope in Russia. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right, I guess that's some sort of progress, what?
Well, protesters. No.
Right. Oh, I see. Right, right, right. Let's see. He said in an interview, he said he fully expected to be fired, but spoke out of a conscientious objection to Russia's new laws. So, good for him.
I just hope he's able to stay safe.
Stay safe, yes, exactly. A lot of thoughts. We had Carl Frischein yesterday about what we should do. I mean, his thought was we shouldn't boycott the Olympics, we should move them. But again, it's like, who's we, and can you accomplish that in the amount of time?
Yeah, the Olympics are supposed to start in about 6 months, I believe, and that is a massive battleship to turn around, with flights and with accommodations.
Right, and they're talking about Vancouver, possibly.
Yeah.
That's.
But
Somebody wrote a piece, Boycott Putin, Not the Olympics.
Yeah.
We'll tell you about that. I mean, everybody's got a different take on it. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEPH-1-2.
Has Stephanie Miller.
Gone too far this time?
No. Some say
Stephanie Miller.
It's too hot for TV.
How hot is too hot?
Obviously too hot for right now.
That's right.
34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. John Fugelsang joining us, top of the hour. Mm-hmm. So we were talking about this, the anti-gay. It really is, you know, you can make jokes, but it's getting really pretty scary.
Yeah.
The author of the Russian anti-gay law, oh boy, this is going to be like the Boston Bomber story. There's a lot of Russian names in this story, and I apologize in advance.
Good luck to you.
We're all counting.
They're not
on
written
me.
In Cyrillic, at least.
No,
that's
thank
true.
God. Yelena Mizulina. That's the author.
I doubt that's
Yelena.
How you pronounce that.
Yelena.
Right. I tried to say right in a Russian accent. How'd that go? Not very well. Okay.
Da.
She authored the nation's homosexual propaganda law, which targets those who promote, quote-unquote, non-traditional sexual relations to children, has begun to target her opponents using the full investigative power of the Russian government. So she's also sparked what they're calling an active debate on what kind of sexual practices are regarded by Russian authorities as non-traditional, prompting Russian socialite and celebrity, Ksenia Sobchak, to make a joke at Mizulina's expense, echoing the belief held by many that Mizulina is bent on eradicating oral sex in Russia.
There's some... Good luck with that.
Yes, she's the Ken Cuccinelli of Russia.
She's
Ken
Russia's Cuccinelli, cooch.
The cooch.
She's Russia's cooch.
Kuchka.
That dork in Virginia that's trying to ban oral and anal sex. What fun is left for anybody, really? She wrote, my husband and I are thinking of filing our own suit against Mizulina for insulting our private family life. The phrase oral sex is so firmly associated with Mizulina now that we no longer feel like having it anymore.
Well, mission accomplished, I guess.
Yeah, there you go. I guess so. Journalist Yelena Kostyevchenko and Olga Bakushinyakaya, right, as well as Deputy Prime Minister Alfred Koch. K-O-K-H.
Koch and Kuch.
Right.
It's like 10-speed brown shoe.
Yeah. Got to get like peanut butter and jelly.
There you go. Have also been questioned. Two lieutenant colonels from Russian Investigative Committee clarified for 3 hours details about Mussolini's gay oral phobias and my own relation to this. One
wow.
of them wrote on their blog. A dozen people are on what she branded the Mussolini list. Insulting an official is an offense in Russia that carries fines of up to $1,200. Yikes, we would have been out of business a long time ago.
Yeah.
And up to 1 year of community service. Internet users accuse the authorities of seeking to silence one of the last arenas of free speech in Russia. Once again, the irony, fairly thick, that this is where Edward Snowden went for free speech.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, comedians have had a field day with Mussolini's actions. Are there Russian comedians other than Yakov Smirnov?
Welcome to country. Maybe they're actually funny.
Yeah, stop it.
Have you ever laughed at anything Yakov Smirnov has ever said?
I don't remember anything.
Exactly. Okay. Yes.
An online petition launched by stand-up comedian Yuri Kovskivisky. He's good.
He's the Russell Brand of Russia.
Yes.
Is calling for the lawmaker to undergo a psychiatric evaluation. Has already gathered 60,000 signatures. If signed by 100,000 people, the petition will be submitted to the state Duma.
Interesting.
What she is doing and this Mizulina list is an unprecedented threat to freedom of speech. Said one, if people are now prosecuted and fined for expressing their opinion on the actions of officials who are actually elected by the people, you can just imagine what will happen to the media freedom and openness more generally.
Hmm.
Yeah, it is scary.
Yeah.
What's happening? Let's go to Mark in Minnesota. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
I'm a big fan.
Thank you.
Listen, I have a suggestion. Instead of boycotting the Olympics, why don't we pressure the U.S. Olympic Committee to have all of the uniforms for our teams have either the rainbow flag, the equality flag, you know, some sort of pink triangle, something on all the uniforms.
Pink triangle,
it could be done very easily. We could get it done.
You know what,
and
though?
And I think it'd be great.
The United States Olympic Committee has notified our athletes that they are to obey all Russian laws while they are there. They are essentially saying that all gay athletes need to go back into the closet if they go to Russia.
But what are they going to do? Are they going to arrest the entire team for having a symbol on their uniform?
I'm just saying
I think it'd be great pressure.
I do too.
That would be great pressure. However, the U.S. Olympic Committee has told them not to do that if they're over there.
Oh, don't be such a Debbie Downer.
Well, I'm just telling you the realities of the situation.
Yeah, but that's not what Mark's talking. He's talking about a statement that's in the uniform. It's not them behaving a certain
that
way.
That would be awesome.
Right.
However,
Mark, I think it's a spectacular idea.
However,
it moving. I'm a straight guy. I can't get this going. I have no fashion skills. So can we?
You're an idea guy.
I'm just an idea. Exactly.
Yeah,
I'm an idea guy.
All right. Good idea, Mark. Thank you. You are the smartest boy in class. Gary Kasparov?
That's the chess guy.
I was just going to say.
That is the very same guy.
Wrote a piece in the Daily Beast, Boycott Putin, Not the Olympics. Gary Kasparov calls for a boycott by corporate sponsors and world leaders, but let the athletes still play and Putin be embarrassed by the publicity. So check and checkmate. Your move. Okay.
Yeah.
See what I did there? Because he's a famous.
Right.
I never understood why they televise chess. That's, I don't really.
Ooh, he pulled a hamstring on that move.
It's just watching two guys staring.
Get the stretcher.
Then again, who thought televising radio was any?
Well, it's like televising golf. What's the point?
Right.
And he's now standing on the green.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, but chess is even worse. They're just thinking.
Yeah, but at least you can see the pieces. You can't see the golf ball if it's flying. They always try and follow the golf ball if it's flying through the air.
You can see what was in their thought bubble, but it's two men staring. Still two men staring. They're thinking.
He's thinking very hard right now. What's he thinking?
Mm. Have they ever televised chess?
Yeah. Just saying, if you have that long to make a decision, it better be a good one.
King me. Oh, wait, no, we can't do that.
No, don't be ridiculous. All right, hey, looky here, something really horrible happened in Texas.
Huh, again?
Mm-hmm. Oops.
Yes, well, Ted Cruz was not behind, so that's right there is a shock. Texas troopers vaginally and anally probe a woman roadside. There's a video of this, Jim.
Wow.
Watch this video of two women who are internally probed by Texas troopers along the side of the road.
That would be rape, basically.
Why?
Imagine drugs driving down the road, being pulled over for allegedly throwing out a cigarette and being forced to stand on the side of the road while a stranger probes your anus and vagina.
Littering doesn't seem to carry that kind of penalty in most places.
I think this guy's just a perv, honestly.
Well, I think there are a lot of police departments are just out of control. Yeah. Power mad.
I mean, this is what they're passing into law in places like Virginia, but this was after pulling two young women over, the Texas trooper claimed he smelled marijuana in the car.
That's marijuana. Mm. I think you better take your knickers off.
Yes, exactly. He called for backup, a female trooper, to perform a full body cavity search roadside.
Hmm, well.
Uh-huh. Odd he didn't find any marijuana.
Huh.
He didn't even cite the women for alleged littering. I'm guessing he just wanted to watch a little girl-on-girl, mm-hmm. is what I'm thinking there. And, kind of a gross story. They said the woman didn't change gloves between the anal and oral.
Wow.
And between the, the two
God.
Women. But, between going from one woman to the other.
Yeah, lawsuit.
Yeah, wouldn't one? I would, okay.
Although with the leadership in Texas right now, I don't know that it would go that far to be a lawsuit. Yep.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so lots going on, obviously, around the world. In Egypt, the president yesterday spoke about that.
The United States strongly condemns the steps that have been taken by Egypt's interim government and security forces.
On the heels of the escalating violence, we've reportedly seen over 500 people killed, thousands injured. President Obama made the remarks yesterday, included a denunciation of the violence on both sides, the cancellation of Operation Bright Star joint military exercise, and the not-so-veiled warning about further steps, which could presumably include the cutoff of foreign aid if violence escalates. The president again.
While we want to sustain our relationship with Egypt, our traditional cooperation cannot continue as usual when civilians are being killed in the streets and rights are being rolled back. As a result, this morning we notified the Egyptian government that we are canceling our biannual joint military exercise, which was scheduled for next month.
Yeah, I mean, this has been obviously the senator of the Green Room, John McCain, and his friend, Lindsey Graham.
His little friend.
Right. They were screaming immediately about the coup. I mean, the reason, and again, the president like most things, has been deliberate on this, because the minute you use the word coup, it triggers, you know, U.S. laws against foreign aid to nations involved in that. So I think, you know, again, you know, there's been a deliberate, like, what, trying to figure out what, because obviously initially it looked like a people's movement that was aided by the military, and now the president is commenting on what's happening.
I've asked my national security team to assess the implications of the actions taken by the interim government and further steps that we may take as necessary with respect to the U.S.-Egyptian relationship.
And then talking about the future of Egypt, the president again yesterday.
America cannot determine the future of Egypt. That's a task for the Egyptian people.
And Jen Psaki, the State Department spokeswoman.
There can be absolutely no place for such violence in Egypt, and we call on all of Egypt's leaders to condemn such attacks.
All right. Maris in D.C. on the Olympics real quick before we go to break. Hello, Maris. Hi, Maris.
Stephanie, Moose, I love you guys.
Thank you.
Here's a quick suggestion for, like, how to solve the problem with the Russians. What we might want to do is to basically keep account of the number of gay athletes that win medals, and then, like, when everybody goes home, print the list so that way everybody's safe, and then, you know, people can just, you know, see that gay athletes are just as good as everybody else.
Well, yeah, I think we did the number, I think, last week, actually, Maris. It's quite a long list already. I mean, this whole thing is, I get the whole boycott thing is punishing athletes that have, you know, trained for years.
Yeah.
But, it is an interesting discussion about what the best way is to deal with this, because it's getting scary over there.
Yeah, it is.
45 minutes after the hour, we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Like being stung by a bee or getting a splinter. Or being chained to a wall in someone's sex dungeon.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Disco, I hear it's making a comeback.
Oh boy. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. John Fugelsang joining us at the top of the hour. All right. So, Reince Priebus, Jim.
Reince Priebus?
Uh-huh. Right. I heard somebody say on TV yesterday they need to do an autopsy of their autopsy at this point.
Yeah.
On the Republican Party. He was talking about their outreach efforts, though.
Since the last meeting in April, we've already hired 157 full-time people across the country in just a few months, and we're adding more every single month from coast to coast. So we're doing both, obviously, Asian communities, Hispanic communities, African-American communities.
Why do I think that people of almost every community don't enjoy whiners? It's just...
Yeah.
Oh boy. Okay. Yeah, they're this is who wrote this in Salon? Mm-hmm. Why John Boehner has to keep making crazy threats. I honestly, the Republican Party's either going to just implode.
Yeah.
Because Chris Christie gave another speech, like, you know, basically tweaking the libertarian crazy Tea Party.
Point.
Yeah, we ought to just sit back and see who's going to win the establishment Tea Party crazy off. Salon writing, you probably read yesterday the efforts of John Boehner and the Republican leadership in the House to convince the rank-and-file members that shutting down the government until Obamacare is defunded is a bad idea and not a brilliant political maneuver. It looks like now Boehner has succeeded in defusing the shutdown threat. All he had to do was promise something worse. So now we're going to put not raise the debt ceiling instead. That again!
God!
Let's not raise the debt ceiling. Hello, Stump.
Replacing the shutdown...
Where are the jobs?
Replacing the shutdown threat with a default threat is actually much crazier and more potentially disastrous.
That was my plan.
Salon writes, Boehner couldn't get Republicans to agree to give up defunding Obamacare this year. He had to promise to exchange their one crazy plan to do so with another one that will go into effect later. And when it's time for that one to go into effect, he will need something else to distract them for a little while until the next crazy plan is ready to go.
Look over there, space aliens!
We've seen this play out over and over again. Boehner has to promise to let Republicans do something apocalyptic later in order to get them to avoid doing some apocalyptic thing now. This is the state of today's Republican Party. It is magical. What makes his job more difficult, Salon writes, is that reality isn't acknowledged by most of the conservative organizations his members and his party's voters exclusively follow. And basically, they're saying, like Heritage Foundation, the sort of people that used to be the reasonable conservatives, they've gone loco. They've gone, you know.
Hey, so your house is on fire? Here, have some napalm. That'll fix it.
Heritage has been attempting to convince Republicans that a shutdown wouldn't be that big a deal. Polls commissioned by Heritage, we talked about these yesterday. Say a government shutdown wouldn't cause anyone to lose their seats, so have at it. The poll, by the way, conducted entirely in Republican or Republican-leaning House districts.
Huh.
It was completely skewed with Republicans with misleading questions. It was a push poll of Republicans by...
Republicans.
Okay, so good job. Stay in the bubble. Heritage and National Review were always very conservative. Salon points out they were realistically conservative. Professional conservatives graduated some time ago from misleading others to lying to themselves.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's what they're saying. Like, Boehner has no choice because all the official organizations that they listen to are also crazy now. I mean, who thinks a government shutdown is a way to run a government? It's just, okay. Steve King, for instance.
The stunning Steve King.
Here we go on immigration. Remember, in the autopsy, they said we've got to do this. We lost the Hispanic vote by a zillion, roughly.
Well,
yeah. The stunning Representative Steve King, Republican of Iowa, took to the airways to defend his stance on immigration reform Thursday morning, explaining that Republican critics who would have agreed with him prior to the 2012 presidential election are now under a spell.
A spell?
Yes.
Like witchcraft?
Do that voodoo
right.
that
voodoo
you
that
do
you
so well.
Right, exactly.
Oh, my
he
God.
He said, last year, almost everybody in my conference would have agreed with me on this immigration issue, I guess, regarding cantaloupe calves.
And watermelon thighs.
said King, noting that statements criticizing his remarks released by John Boehner and Eric Cantor were penned by staff members, not the lawmakers themselves.
Ah, right. Those damn staff members.
Right.
Darn you.
It seems as though after the presidential election, a spell's been cast over a good number of Republicans, and they seem to think the presidential election was about immigration.
Well,
partially. There's a reason you lost the Hispanic vote 70-something to 20-something. They seem to do that calculation that we should sacrifice the rule of law by granting amnesty. There it is, the A word. No spell has been cast over me. It doesn't seem to be logical or rational to me that this is the right thing to do. Right. Good. Follow him. I'd say that's a... Follow cantaloupe calves. You should have seen the bitch-slapping Anna Navarro gave him on Meet the Press.
Oh, it was awesome.
That was a thing of beauty. And then they cut back to him. I don't know if she knew that he was still going to be there. They cut back to him for response. He's just like, blinky.
I think he assumed that because she's Hispanic that she was a Democrat.
Right.
I think that's why he thought it was okay to talk to her like that.
And then he said, well, if you understand English,
yeah.
He said that.
Wow.
To
her.
You know what I... And she's like, I'm not undocumented.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
She's actually a Republican.
It was hard to see her calves under the table because TV, they shoot waist up, generally.
That's true.
So.
But she was wearing a skirt, so we could have checked.
Right.
Let's get a shot of those cantaloupe calves, huh? Do you speak English? Talking to Englishy?
Oh, boy.
She's a Republican consultant. That's what's hysterical
this
about.
This is what's happened. This is how full circle we've come. Barbara Bush wants Hillary Clinton to run.
The young Barbara
young
Bush.
Barbara
yes.
Bush.
Right. Younger. No, yes. Not that one. The right.
Right.
Bush daughter.
Mm-hmm.
The George W. Bush daughter, Barbara Bush, 31 years old, said she wants to see a Clinton run in 2016 in the upcoming issue of People magazine. During an interview that focused primarily on her volunteer work, she called Clinton unbelievably accomplished. Uh-oh.
I don't think you're allowed to say that in the Bush family.
It's going to be an awkward Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
I saw Jenna in D.C. when we were going to the Tom Hartman building.
Oh.
Yeah, she was right next door.
The Tom Hartman building? Tom Hartman has a building?
No, you know, the studio.
The studio there.
Oh. Why wasn't I given a building in Washington?
They are right next door to the Heritage Foundation.
There you go.
Okay, Newt Gingrich on Hillary.
Hillary Clinton may beat Hillary Clinton. I mean, she runs around the country and adopts a series of left-wing ideas in order to preempt the primaries. She may isolate herself so much from the average American that she defeats herself.
Yeah, sure, that'll happen.
Yeah, she's so far to the right.
Yeah.
Or left, I mean.
Right. What? That'll happen, Nudie. Wishful thinking?
Yeah, she's practically a communist, Nudie. You've sussed
it out.
Hey,
you know what might happen if Hillary's president?
What?
I might get a Stephanie Miller building in Washington, just like Tom Hartman. I know, the building he does his show from. All
exactly.
Right, 58 minutes after the hour. I just got delusions of grandeur for a moment. Sexy little John Fugelsang joins us next for Fridays with Fugelsang as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yes, it is. No more lawyers telling us we can't.
That's right.
6 minutes after the hour. This hour brought to you by Sherwin-Williams. Make the most of your color with the very best paint. Ask Sherwin-Williams. I heard a sultry laugh from the New York
Fugelsang, Fugelsang, Fugelsang. Fugelsang, Fugelsang.
He definitely does not have a face for radio.
With my unemployment check. I want my check.
Good morning, John Fugelsang.
Good morning, children. How are y'all doing?
That was the final viewpoint on the current television network last night.
Oh, what a final view. Well, we had a great final week. We had Spike Lee on.
Wow.
We had Dick Cavett and Jim Norton together, which has never been attempted in comedy history. We had Shelley Wright on this week. We saved the heavy hitters for the last week. We had, for our final show, we had Louis Black and Roseanne Barr. Elaine Boozler, Liz Winstead, Taylor Negron, and my little guy Henry Jack made his TV debut.
Oh!
That's right. Yeah. So, yeah, I send you a copy of the link, Chris, for the final one, because I've signed off on TV shows before. I've never signed off on a network before.
You were the last live show.
Wow. You're the last piece of original programming for current TV. Now it's just going to be documentaries on Anna Nicole Smith all weekend before the takeover. So it was really, really awkward, so I was going to do a goofy thing, but I realized, no, I'm kind of eulogizing a whole network, but I did get the little incubus on camera, and that was my great accomplishment.
The giant baby?
Mm-hmm, yes, you'll see. You should see the clip. You'll see how big he is. It's kind of ridiculous.
The big giant head.
He made his TV debut last night, and he didn't completely embarrass himself.
Aw, how old is the giant baby now?
17 months this week.
All right. When
32 pounds. You'll meet him in October. I'm bringing him out to L.A.
Oh, awesome. Awesome.
Yes.
Fabulous.
We're staying with you. I didn't tell you that.
Oh, wow. Well,
you're actually going to build a new wing
for the giant baby.
Yes, you're going to watch him while I go out and do my shows. So
and you're flying on Screaming Baby Airlines, of course.
I am Screaming Baby Airlines.
Anyway, but spectacular work on current television network. And I know that we will see you because you are too stunningly beautiful in addition to being handsome, romantic, and funny.
I'll be on the Ed Show on MSNBC tomorrow.
Oh, fabulous.
Yes, I'm crawling back to them. We did invite Al Gore. He didn't respond. We did invite Keith Olbermann. He did respond.
We can talk about Keith Olbermann again.
Keith made it very clear that he would not be coming back to current TV for any circumstance. I believe he said something about his carcass wouldn't come to current TV. There's apparently an issue there, bitterness between him and the guys. I don't know much about it. Didn't get much airplay.
Interesting. I hadn't heard about that.
Yeah, but we it wound up being a fun end of the run, and you know, like I said, we had Shelley there for the last week, and Spike Lee, and Louis Black, and Roseanne Barr. It was just a great
wow! Mm-hmm. What did I'm sure you talked to Shelley about the Russia and the Olympics. What were her thoughts?
She supports a boycott.
I
support the boycott, but I also understand the other point of view that these guys have really trained hard and they want to go. I don't really know if my mind's made up. I mean, you think about Hitler in 1936 in Munich and a black man from America, Jesse Owens, embarrassing him.
It was in Berlin, actually.
Berlin, sorry. Yeah. Well, I would support a boycott. I think I'd like even more to see a couple of gay athletes win the gold and silver in an event and just make out.
Start making out, yeah.
If you had two athletes win and start making out on camera in front of the world, I can't think of a better way to tell Putin what reality thinks of him.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we were talking about, I don't know if you heard, the Russian TV anchor came out on the air and, of course, got fired immediately.
If you go to Russia, if you're in Red Square today and you wave a rainbow flag and say, I love my gay son, The law now states they can throw you in jail for 2 weeks, no trial, no lawyers, and then deport you as soon as it's done. That's how Putin's decided to be less popular.
Yeah, he was trying to figure out how to get his approval rating even lower. But we were saying it really is, you can make jokes about it, but it really is it's startling. And I know people have made, you just were talking about the Olympics, that we talked about a boycott, but people were like, oh, Hitler wouldn't go that far in the 1930-whatever Olympics, right?
36. Mm-hmm.
Right, 36. I do get what you're saying, John, that people say, look, these athletes have trained all their lives,
I really see both sides of it. You know, I can't say my mind is made up. I certainly agree with the boycott. And hey, if Putin was saying stuff about Jews or black folks or women, there wouldn't be a debate. There'd be a boycott. We know
right.
that.
Right. Right.
But I have a lot of respect for the athletes who trained really hard. I remember as a kid when Jimmy Carter pulled out of the Russian Olympics and, mm-hmm. you know, how much heat he took for it and how it really hurt a lot of people. And mm-hmm. I don't think this president will be calling off these Olympics for this reason.
Well, I mean, Chris was saying that, you know, because one of the other solutions, Carl Frisch was saying yesterday about let's move them, like, you know, Vancouver's been mentioned. But, you know, that also could be problematic, right?
That's a mm-hmm. massive battleship yeah. that needs to be turned around.
And this is Putin's plot, I think, to have Russia competing against nothing but third world athletes in the Olympics, because I think he's just going to drive every country with decent athletes away, because I don't see what the end game for Vladimir is. This isn't going to help him get reelection. This isn't going to help his state economy. So, you know, I don't understand why he feels the need to appeal to his party's right-wing base unless he's just a schmuck. I don't get it. Or he's planning to come here and break into the Tea Party. Otherwise, I don't see what the capital is for him in doing this draconian anti-gay move that belongs in a different century.
That'd be kind of a triumph of the shrill.
Oh, hey! Oh, Jim Ward with a little historical humor.
See, because that was a movie. A little Lenny Riefenstahl
humor. Oh, I did my Lenny Riefenstahl jokes. I missed you, Jim. I missed you, man.
Yeah, well, so speaking of the Tea Party here, John, you probably saw this, that obviously the fight is ongoing between the Rand Paul Tea Party faction of the Republican Party and the Chris Christie firmly planted his giant foot in the
it's like Pacific Rim. It's monsters against robots. I don't know who to root for.
Exactly. New Jersey Governor Chris Christie planted himself firmly in the Republican Party's establishment wing yesterday with a pugnacious speech. Is he known for that sort of thing?
Occasionally, now and then. Going, he might going, be a little going. Peckish.
Boom! I said it and I did not vaporize into the company. That was my favorite thing he said. I don't know why. I don't even know which thing it was.
I have no idea.
Boom! I said it.
Did he actually say that, or is that just your caricature?
No, he did.
Okay.
No, someone will Google it. He did say that. What was it? He said, there, I said it, and I did not vaporize into the company.
Wow. And he's the best public speaker in the entire field.
You're right.
No. He really is. Yeah. I mean, he will never get the nomination, and Hillary Clinton's lucky for that because he would thrash her in a debate.
Oy.
It's a good thing that the GOP won't nominate anyone who could actually win. And you know what? I'm not one to make jokes about Chris Christie and his weight. I know he's a large man. I respect that. Frank Conniff does a lot of those jokes. But I do think it's interesting that when William Howard Taft ran for president and was 300 pounds, back then that was seen as a sign of affluence.
Mm-hmm.
Today, with the crap we call food, a 300-pound guy runs for president, and that's seen as a sign of being a common man, a regular guy.
Mm-hmm.
It's rather interesting how we've evolved.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, anyway, he called on his party to focus on pragmatism rather than ideology and crippling internal debates. He said, we are not a debating society. We're a political operation that needs to win. Christie's remarks were interpreted by many as another jab at Rand Paul. He said, my job is to win. I believe my job is to win. Our job is not to be college professors. Oh, I guess that was a shot at Obama, I'm guessing. Christie also appeared to rap Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal. He said, I'm not going to be one of those people who goes around and calls our party stupid, even though it kind of is.
Yeah. but that's smart. That's smart.
He said, we need to stop navel-gazing. There's nothing wrong with our principles. We need to focus on winning again. You know, and somebody, we were talking, John, about whether, like, was this smart of him to do this? And I'm like, yes,
dumb.
It's exactly, it's the only way they're going to win again, isn't it?
Yeah, and again, it's like Chris Christie is the only winning candidate they have. Well, Jeb Bush is going to pull it out for him. Santorum's going to do it. Mike Lee, Rand Paul, Ted Cruz. By the way, I'm going to now, Stephanie, give you a list of every Republican who's ever asked to see Ted Cruz's birth certificate. And now that I'm done with that, they got no one. Chris Christie's their best guy, yep. and they will not give him the nomination because of insufficient hatred for Muslims, insufficient hatred for gays, insufficient hatred for women who get abortions, and the fact that he actually had the audacity to work with a president to help his own state after a national disaster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean,
it's just, it's crazy.
Well, I don't know if you saw it.
Even Ann Coulter was right about something once.
I think Scott Walker has a better chance of getting the nomination than Chris Christie.
Mm. Well, you know, I don't know if you saw it. Chris Matthews said it's going to be Rand Paul. Mark my words, I've been doing this a long time. They're going to pick Rand Paul. And then what happens?
Gingrich said it too.
Yeah, but then what happens to the party? Does it just completely implode? I mean, somebody was saying, like, Hillary carries Georgia if it's Rand Paul.
You know, it's really true because Rand Paul, again, they think he looks so good on paper right now, but the crazy is stacked up already. Repealing the Americans with Disabilities Act? Can you imagine the wheelchairs in Hillary's ads that are already getting shined up for this? I mean... you know, he's on tape on Rachel's show. Y'all saw when he did Rachel's show and talked about how he wouldn't have supported. Because businesses should have the right to be racist if they want. He said it, man. He can't erase that. All the speeches at Howard won't take away what he's on the record as believing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, and there's practicing eye surgery without a license. There's that, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
What could possibly go wrong?
Rand Paul's libertarian paradise.
Yes.
Arnold in North Carolina, you're on with John. Hey, Arnold.
Oops. So Putin ain't got nothing on us, man. We don't like hot dogs.
Is he calling from Russia?
Arnold, you're going to have to try us on a different phone, but it sounded good, whatever your point was.
Well, his point was that what's going on in Russia is pretty much as bad as what's going on in North Carolina.
Hmm. Yeah,
you have bionic ears.
Well, no, I could see it on the screen here. Travis.
He clearly said,
and he worked at a drive-thru for a long time. All right.
Yeah, but what's going on?
Sounded like fries with that.
What's going on in North Carolina is absolutely frightening.
Oh, it's real. Yeah. I think it's the most blatant voter suppression that they've ever... I mean, at least they try to make it a little more subtle in other states.
And, you know, it's so great to know that this Supreme Court is going to go down in history as being racist. And they are racist. And they came out and said, we know racial discrimination is still a problem, but we don't care. That was essentially their ruling. We had Reverend Jackson on our show that night. And here's the thing about Voting Rights Act that liberals got to hammer home to their conservative friends. What they did when they gutted the Voting Rights Act and took away preclearance requirements. The fact of the matter is, it doesn't just hurt black folks and Latinos. This hurts seniors. Mm-hmm. This hurts college kids. This hurts poor people. This hurts anyone without easy access to a state-issued ID. These guys are such clods. Voter fraud is not a problem anywhere. Voter registration fraud happens. It's still not a problem for anyone. Voter fraud doesn't exist. This is all the desperate gasps of the GOP to keep you from voting.
Yeah, I saw an actual number, John. It was point. I'd have to go back and look at how many zeros. It was 0.00001% That's the percentage of vote fraud.
Exactly. Tom Hartman said more people are killed by TVs every year. This is all designed to reduce vote. And the greatest sign that these guys are complete liars and don't mean anything they say is that anyone can vote by mail without a photo ID.
Huh.
You can still vote by mail. They're not serious about stopping a problem. There is no problem. They're serious about making it harder for people to vote. Mm-hmm.
Well,
they think voting's a privilege, not a right.
I think it's a backlash for the success of the convention in Charlotte. They're trying to make up for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they're all doing it, though, Jim. It's happening all around the country.
Mm.
And it's not like the abortion laws, where these horrible draconian abortion laws they're having, these guys don't give a rat's ass about abortion. They know this stuff's going to be tied up in court. Scott Walker signed his abortion law in Wisconsin on July 5th in the middle of a four-day weekend, so it would get so little press, because they know it's going to get tied up and will be overturned. Scott Walker's already has been overturned by a judge. But the voting rights thing, this is insidious, and it's all designed to keep Americans and poor people of all colors from voting, and it's going to take a lot of lawsuits to make it go away.
The solution is
make all states have preclearance. All 50 states have to do preclearance
absolutely.
For any changes. You do that, you're not picking on the slave states anymore, and then it's fair and it's across the boards, and conservatives have no argument.
By the way, Democrats we don't mean to insult any of the slave states. We're just saying you're the states that had
You're the states that went to war to keep people as pets.
Right. Okay, 19 minutes after the hour. More Fridays with Bugle Slang as we roll along. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Join the party. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Is that Chris Christie singing?
No, that's the guy whose lyrics Chris Christie's never paid attention to.
23 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. John Fuglesang in the New York Bureau. Tony in New Mexico about Chris Christie. Hello, Tony. You're on with John.
I love you.
I love you.
Hey, I'm a little bit nervous talking to you, so please try to hear what I'm saying.
Okay,
you know, Christie has a bill on his desk to outlaw machine guns, basically the kids, right?
Right.
The 17, 16-year-olds. 97% of the population, Republican and Democrats, want him to sign it. But he won't because nationally, you know, he's going to take a hit. Now, being that Christie is a guy that's in your face and he don't like to be called a chicken or he's scared or he's not looking out for his people, if he did one of his press conference on whatever or on something and people start and some operative came in there and threw out 50 chickens and start calling him a chicken because he won't sign this bill because he's scared of Rand Paul or this, that, or the other, it would force his hand to sign it, and then it'll put him in bad light with the Republicans.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see him with the dance, John, as you were alluding to, that he's going to have to do if he wants to get the nomination. I mean, because I think that fight, they haven't figured out, you know, who's going to win that fight in their party yet as to what, you know, what which way they're going to go, right? The crazy libertarian wing or the establishment wing?
Nope. The important thing is, Steph, they're going to fight. They're going to fight a lot. They're going to fight each other, and it's going to be a much higher IQ clown car than we had last year. I mean, you're not going to have Michelle Bachmann, you're not going to have Herman Cain, but you're going to get Santorum back, you might get Rick Perry back, so the comedy will be safe, and then you've got the so-called heavy hitters, the so-called
Are you
best
warning of
brightest.
A second Santorum surge? Is that what you're
saying? There's going to be more Santorum. The Santorum, it's been waiting, and it's going to surface again. Yes. Santorum will rise.
Yeah. It's been dammed up.
Will he be bringing up the rear, do you think, at this time?
I think like last time in the polls, we'll see the Santorum explode from the bottom and go to the top. It'll stick. Santorum will stick this time. But I got to remember all these stupid jokes from a year ago. I have we had a sexy liberal shirt once where I just finally said, okay, you know what? I'm going to do nothing but Santorum jokes. And I sat on the stool and just told Santorum double on
the stool
for three. You did get one too.
Oh, I see what you did there. All right.
But you know what? The thing is, they keep saying, oh, it's going to be all the fresh faces. And what are you going to see? You're going to see Marco Rubio. And you're going to see Ted Cruz, and you're going to see Scott Walker, and you're going to see Rand Paul. And you know what you're going to see? They're all going to be saying the exact same stuff that Bush said. They're going to be fighting for the exact same George Bush policies, the same neocon policies, not so much invading Iraq, but economics, no difference, no daylight.
Right.
It's just going to be a new cast of faces, so you won't notice it's the same old rap.
Yeah, I mean, interesting what the caller brought up, though, even about gun issues. I mean, you know, this made me sad. Request for gun permits in Newtown is set to double last year's numbers.
Mm-hmm. But at least that's regulated. You know, we had Erica Lafferty on last night's show, the daughter of the principal of Newtown. She's the activist who faced down Kelly Ayotte at that town hall.
Mm-hmm.
And she's wonderful, and I've been trying to get her on the show all year. I was thrilled to have her for the last one. She's become my favorite activist. And we talked about that. And the fact is, yes, the gun permits have doubled, but those are permits. Those are legal gun owners. Those are people who have regulated weapons.
Right.
And it's the unregulated gun show loopholes with no background checks that are the problem, not the registration.
Right, except that that's the, you know, the NRA's wet dream, right? That, you know, every gun incident is going to lead to, guess what, more guns.
And they talk, and it's the NRA, and it's the gun manufacturers, and they're the only ones who have made a buck and profited, made money off of what happened in Newtown. And that's how it happens. The next massacre happens before the shells have cooled off. The NRA will put out press releases saying, in light of this tragedy, Obama wants to take your guns. And the mailings will go, it's all Obama and Holder coming to get your guns, which is going to be a lie like it was a lie the last several times. And everyone's going to go out, buy a lot of weapons.
Yep.
And again, they will profit from murder because that's what they do.
Did you see the Isn't It Ironic headline from this week, gun safety instructor? Instructor shoots a student in gun safety class.
Wow, that never happens.
Accidentally.
That never happens.
Les in California, you're on with John. Hi, Les. I'm Chris Christie.
Hi. I'd like to comment on the fact that I'm going to give myself some credit. and that is, I've been saying for a long, long time, and I don't know much about politics, but I'll tell you what, Chris Christie, I can't figure out for the life of me why the Republicans don't go, hey, okay, we want to win. Let's put a guy in there that can win.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're going to pull Democrats. Some Democrats like him. Some independents like him. You're going to pull other votes in that would...
Let's. Here's the moment where we're all going to agree with Ann Coulter, who said, if we don't run Chris Christie, Mitt Romney will get the nomination and we'll lose.
She's cut him loose now, Ann Coulter's cut Christie loose.
We'll talk about that next. Fridays with Uglesing on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
These people bring tomorrow's show fresh and new and gay and hot.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Fridays with sexy liberal John Fugelsang in the New York Bureau. John, we were talking about, I don't know if you saw the great-grandmother has come forward to accuse Mayor Bob Filner, of sexual harassment. That makes the 16th woman.
Yes. Oh, no.
Tommy writes, Steph, please warn Ann Romney. Ann is sturdily built, a grandmother, lives in La Jolla, next to San Diego.
Stop it. This is hard. You want to try it? Get in the ring. This is hard.
All right. I wouldn't try it, Filner.
No. Was she saying that to Filner? This is hard.
This is hard.
Yeah. You know, John,
you got that right.
Filner needs to be quitting his job and changing his last name.
Yeah, exactly.
Filner, I just met her.
Exactly, too easy. Although I was saying earlier, John, it's the only good thing the silver lining I can think of is that liberal guys, Democratic guys, they obviously, they're not scared of smart women.
No.
Just saying, a lot of the women lawyers, they're not, porn stars and stuff like that, just saying.
No. No, they're not scared of smart women, unless you're Anthony Weiner, in which case...
Well, that just blew my whole theory right there. You're right.
He's married to one.
He's married to one and deeply afraid of smart women.
Right. All right, let's go to Brian in Illinois on the NRA. We were just talking about... Hey, Brian, you're on with John.
Hey, good morning. You guys were just talking about the Second Amendment and NRA, but, the standard ground and all these laws, they always talk about the Second Amendment. And my question is that why doesn't anybody argue about the Fifth Amendment where I have a trial by jury for any crime?
Right.
Nowhere does it say in any constitution that they got a right to pull the trigger. I got my constitutionally protected right to stand trial for whatever crime. It doesn't give them a right to pull the trigger.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's a good point.
Yeah. It's a very good point, but they don't care.
They ignore half of the Second Amendment anyway. The whole point is part of a well-regulated militia. Given these circumstances, you are allowed to have a weapon.
Well,
but they leave that part out.
You know when Stand Your Ground is going to go away? Over a lawsuit when a white child is killed by it. That's when it's going to go away. It's going to take a lot of blood before people wake up to that.
And, John, someone made the point this week about bringing the NSA stuff in. They were saying just like we say the founders couldn't have imagined automatic weapons when they wrote the Second Amendment. Mm-hmm. They couldn't have imagined, the electronic, where we are in terms of...
Of course not. No, listen, you're entitled to all the muskets your well-regulated militia can stockpile. Mm-hmm. That's what I get from the Second Amendment. I mean, we can argue over whether it grants an individual right to own weapons. I think it does. I think you do have a right. But the well-regulated part, that's the part they want to gloss over and forget about. We're not even looking for tight regulations. We just want them to be registered the way cars are.
They don't understand 18th century sentence structure. That's part of the problem.
that should be retaught in school.
But now the government seems to be wiping its ass with the rest of the Bill of Rights. But the Second Amendment, you're good. You want to buy a truckload of assault rifles and a million rounds of ammunition? Good on you.
Yeah.
You're exactly right. It's easier to buy 6,000 rounds of ammo online than it is for some people to vote in the state of North Carolina.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly. Allison in Illinois, you're on with John. Hey, Allison.
Hello. I am going to kind of drift back to the conversation you were having about the 2016 options on the Republican side. And I basically just wanted to kind of throw it out there that I feel like the Republicans throw these clowns out there on a national level so that we don't pay attention to what's happening on a local level. I mean, look at Wisconsin, look at Ohio, look at Florida, look at all these states where we were all sleeping in 2010 and we swept in these conservatives. The Kochs came in and Alec came in, and because we were all sleeping and paying attention so much at a national level that we weren't paying attention to our backyard. Mm-hmm. And so I just kind of want to throw it out there to your listeners that,
Allison, it is really, I mean, egregious is not a strong enough word for what's happening to women, to voting rights. I mean, you're absolutely
right. Exactly. I mean, it starts as low level as, you know, tiny little towns and their town hall meetings and school boards. And it starts such at a local level that I think because of how our media is set up nowadays, we're always constantly focused on D.C., D.C., D.C. We're not thinking about our tiny little town and what the implications are and at local level.
Yep. It's much more important.
And, you know, and it's the whole thing about, you know, standing up for stuff that doesn't maybe personally affect you. As we all know, my eggs are dust.
Dusty.
At this point. So, and I have the gay on me, Allison. But the point is, you know, I have to imagine what a woman in Virginia feels like when she has a state-sponsored rape.
Exactly.
A transvaginal probe when she's pregnant. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's when we have this conversation about, John, you know, racial profiling that has come up, you know, between, you know, mandatory sentencing and the stop and frisk law. We've had people that it really is heartbreaking to me that call in, that we've had, you know, black folks call in and say, you don't understand what it's like, mm-hmm. particularly black men, what it feels like to have to be scared.
It's crazy in New York, too.
To see a cop and think, I wonder what's going to, you know.
Yeah, and, you know, I watch Morning Joe, and I see all these white people discussing it, and all these Caucasians discussing stop and frisk. You know, all these wealthy Caucasians talking about how this has made the city safer. Let me tell you something. They say it's made the city safer because it's been so many arrests. You know what those arrests are all for, don't you? They're for nonviolent drug offenses, mostly marijuana, okay? You want to stop the real crime, you go to Wall Street. That's where the real crime is, and that's where all the coke is as well. 88% of people stopped for stop and frisk or let go right away. And it's another form of what they're doing in Arizona. It is racial profiling. It is singling out one group for discrimination and for
scrutiny.
It's a
up.
Violation right. of the illegal search and seizure. And it's not going to hold up in court.
They
I
ought
don't
to stand
understand.
Outside Goldman Sachs and just to stop and frisk everyone that comes out. You obviously right. must have cocaine on you. You're a Goldman Sachs guy.
Yeah, this is why no one takes us seriously. We're not talking about the solutions to poverty and crime. We're just hassling people who are poor. Mm-hmm. That's all it is. And it's not making New York safer. It's making New York meaner, and it's making people trust cops less. The same problem they had with that immigration mm-hmm. law, with the show-me-your-papers law, rather, in Arizona. Now communities don't want to work with cops because people are afraid of cops again.
Yeah, well, you know, our friend Melissa Fitzgerald was in this week, and she was talking about community policing and stuff that's working integrating into the community and making so that people aren't afraid
actually
of
know
the police.
The police. Right. They're your friends.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Pete in Chicago. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show with John. Hello, Pete.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
I got a great, great, great idea. Okay? Now we go to Putin and say, okay, we'll take all of your gays, we'll take all of your lesbians, we'll take all of your artists, we'll take
give
all
us
of
your
them,
poor, your gays. Yeah.
Give us your Russian lesbians, please.
Give us your huddled gays.
Send them thither.
Yeah. Now, in return, we'll give him all of our Christian rights because they would love it over there. You know, there's no blacks, no Jews, no gays, no brown people.
Right.
It's just like God's country to them.
Yeah.
Take our homophobes.
Yeah, absolutely. Take them all.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you feel right at home over there.
I invite you. They may have a problem with the whole slow return to communism thing that's going on as well. I don't know.
They ain't going back to communism.
No.
They're capitalist.
Yeah. Putin would love it if they went back to communism.
Well, they're authoritarian, but I don't think they'll ever go back to communism.
Yeah.
Philip in San Diego, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with John. Hi, Philip.
Hi, John. Hi, Stephanie. Quick story before I make my point for today. I just went up to the store to buy something, and I was approached by a guy that wanted a cigarette. And he asked me, do I want some company? And apparently he was pimping out some grandma-looking woman, so I suggested, well, check with Bob Filner. But seriously.
You had a grandma pimp.
That's right.
Did he offer you a gilf?
Yeah, but I told him I got a husband, so that wouldn't work. Anyhow, I'm really curious about this Bob Filner thing, that it's all of a sudden coming up after 10 terms in Congress, and he's never been a lech before. And part of the story here in San Diego is he is against closing the medical marijuana shops. But yeah, the district attorney, Bonnie DeMonis, wants to close them. There's also this Big Bay project that he seems to be against and spoke out against, that the corporate people in this city want. So I'm just wondering, you know, how real are these accusations? And it's just
they're real.
Mind that all of a sudden when he becomes mayor, all of a sudden this starts coming out. Did he have, you know, some kind of
Alzheimer's? Well, it seems to me, Philip, that, you know, these women, what they're saying rings true, and I think that the more women that come out, the more women obviously have the courage to,
exactly,
you know, to come forward. Because
it's not safe for women to come out and tell the truth. Still, in our workplace, the fact that women are too afraid to report these things shows how far we have to go.
Yeah, and a lot of women just thought, oh, well, you know, he's a man in power and there's nothing I can do. And I think that, you know, these other women have given people courage. This is Peggy Shannon, the great-grandmother. Dear God, Bob Filner, really? With your big Billy Bass mouth.
He thought he was doing her a favor.
Here she is.
Mayor Filner started coming by my desk several times a day. He would take my hand and talk about us getting together the next weekend. I knew he was engaged, and I felt very shocked and upset that he would think I would go out with him.
Dear God, we've got to get some security, John, for Angela Lansbury.
Oh, my God. Hey, guys, hey, Filner and Wiener, isn't it great that Democrats are the degenerates again? Because for a while it was just Republican perverts, and it's so nice to have this equal time. I love it. It's so refreshing to be able to mock Democrats. Thank God we have some scumbags on our side.
Yeah, exactly. And Wiener, that just, oh, dear God.
No.
Really?
Oh, you don't want to know what it's like here
in
New York.
Yeah, what's going on there in New York?
Oh, it's just painful. It's just, well, he has TV commercials now. I don't know where the money's coming from. He's less popular than cannibals on bath salts. And it's like, he's out there every day, and you're like, oh, it's like watching Rod Stewart tour. Just stop.
Oh, please.
No. I mean, you
New
saw what happened.
New Yorkers don't quit.
He sat, well, New Yorkers will forgive a sinner. Look at Elliot, but they will not forgive a serial liar. And you saw what happened where he called that Republican opponent grandpa front of a microphone
at
an AARP event?
Oh, God.
Anthony Weiner, will you please go now?
Hey, call out of your dentures, Gramps.
I'm sort of enjoying the daily footage of women yelling at him in the subway.
Oh, it's so painful. It's like watching your pets die. It's so sad.
Aww.
I remember when this guy was like the greatest advocate for single-payer health care in all of Congress a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
This was the guy on MSNBC every night who was raising a lot of money for the party, even though the party hated him. And no one, we didn't know when he said his aid.
Right. We didn't know when he said public option. He meant his penis. But that's... Hey! Who wants to see? All right.
Public option schwanz care. That's
your
what I'm
public
offering.
Option. Ready?
Oh, there's an exchange for you right here.
Schwanz care?
Yeah, it's good. But the interesting thing is that after the nation endorsed Bill de Blasio, he went to number one in the New York polls.
Yeah, exactly. All right. 46 minutes after the hour. Right back. More Fridays with Google Sang on The Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number off the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
California.
Right? Melt your friggin' popsicle. 51. That's how hot we are, right? 51 minutes after the hour. Jenny in Georgia, you're on with John. Hi, Jenny.
Hi, sweetie. Hi, John.
Hello.
Hi.
Okay. First of all, John, you did a great job on Viewpoint, and I'm sorry I didn't start recording you much earlier, because now my VCR is filled up with your shows. Okay. I came up...
You will see John again. He is too talented. He will be snapped up.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead,
Jen. I will. All right. Thank you. I came up with a great idea to solve the problem of the voting acts, state voting acts thingies.
Right.
When we sign up to vote, everybody who wants to should carry a gun with them. And the people trying to control everybody won't know whether they're packing ammunition or not. And it's like, what are they going to do? Say, hey, you have a gun. Really? I am allowed to. I'm an American. I have the Second Amendment rights. So if everybody's lined up to vote in these long lines and you got people packing guns with rainbow wristbands, you know, they're really going to turn you away.
Huh. Wow, that was a whole bouillabaisse of issues. That was something about voting rights, guns, and gays.
There's similar plan.
All right. I was somewhat...
Wow, okay.
She's got a plan. I'll vote for her.
Okay. CL in Los Angeles, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, CL.
Hi, Steph and everyone. You know, I never want to excuse the atrocious behavior, but I've been trying to understand Filner's issue.
Yeah,
well,
his main damage, as Heather would say.
What is your major malfunction?
Testosterone rots the brain. That's his major issue.
God, Filner, what's your damage?
Go ahead, CL.
You know, he's over 70 years old, and it seems like most of the women they have experienced this atrocious behavior the last 5 to 7 years, and I'm just wondering if it's dementia, if it's some sort of dementia.
I've heard people say that, and I don't know, but I've heard a couple people speculate that. John, what do you think? I mean, it seems like this has been such a pattern of behavior, and it doesn't sound like it's just lately, but I don't know.
Look, he's 70 years old. No one ever told him it's wrong to chase a secretary around a desk before. He's Roger Sterling. You know, these guys.
Yeah. His lawyer literally tried that. Like, oh, he didn't get the sexual harassment training. I didn't get the manual. Really?
Yeah, and the city should, and the state should pay for his legal costs because he was never told it's wrong to grope.
Yeah. It's a problem to grab some woman's boobs?
What? When did that happen?
You know, women don't
understand it. It's hot in San Diego. I thought it would be cooler for her to work without her panties. What?
men don't understand it. Women understand how men are, but men don't get how bad. Men don't appreciate this until an older male authority figure hits on them. You know, the first time I had a boss who hit on me, I was like, oh, my God, my boss is asking me out to dinner. I don't know what to do. I feel very nervous, and I don't know how to respond, and I'm not gay. And it was really, really awkward. And guys don't understand what women have to deal with in the workplace with guys like this all the time. So I think it's great we're talking about it. The solution is, in a couple of decades, these guys are all going to die off, and there'll be better workplace protection for women. But for this man to be 70... and to be playing the ignorance card that he didn't know was wrong, give me a break. He just can't control it, and testosterone's not a friend.
By the way, you were saying we're finally having a Democratic cycle of pervs. And just for equal time, it's a women perv story. Wisconsin woman accused of holding men hostage for sex.
All right.
Someone's life is actually more pathetic than mine. Police in Wisconsin have arrested
a middle-aged... That's my kind of Ariel Castro.
John Louise
Fugelsang.
Ariel's a woman's name, too. That's all I was going for.
You are a bad man.
You're a very bad man. I'm going to wish you out in the cornfield.
Right. Turn to me, Jack in the Box.
Police in Wisconsin arrested a middle-aged woman, Wausau woman, and charged her with several crimes in connection with two incidents involving men she reportedly held hostage in an effort to obtain sex. She allegedly locked her roommate and another man inside a room at the residence and refused to let them leave until one of the victims agreed to have sex with her. Officers spotted the men shouting from a second-story window and attempted to gain access to the residence through the front door. That is
what does she look like exactly? Does she look like Paul Williams? I mean,
she's not unattractive, actually.
Well, I mean, if a woman wants a man to have sex with her, she just tells him.
That's really it, right?
Yeah,
but I don't know if you can do it on demand like that without, you know, some of the pills sold on MSNBC and other places.
The old current
TV. There's always a man who can do
it on demand. You need some sort of underarm, you need some tea treatment, I would think, to be able to... That's our favorite. Jim and I, it's our favorite ad because apparently it's the greatest thing ever. But don't get it on anybody in your family.
I actually can only get aroused by imagining the low T guy being beaten up. That gets my T going.
My wife didn't used to have balls. Interesting. Okay, 58 minutes after the hour. Back with more Fridays with Fugelsang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Take that, lawyers, and say we can't feel good or walk on sunshine. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll-free from
Michigan. Wasn't our lawyers that said it.
No. All right. Peggy in Tennessee, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Peggy.
Hi, Stephanie. Yeehaw. As you say.
Right.
Listen, this is our first day without you guys here. I've got through to you a couple of times from, we're from the hills back here in the Smoky Mountains, and we lost you here today.
On current, current TV, but Peggy, I had some very good news actually yesterday. We're going to know shortly our new television outlet for the radio show.
Well, look here. This is where all my neighbors that can't watch at home sneak to my house because we're all from right-wing families. So we all sneak to my house, and everybody's going through withdrawals here. And we are missing Jim with the Rice Priebus and the Turtle Club.
Right.
Of Mitch McConnell. Aww. We don't know what we're going to do.
Peggy, you were like having a little underground liberal railroad there in Tennessee.
Yes, ma'am.
Curtains drawn, current television on. All right. Peggy, you stay tuned. Make sure you follow us, Stephanie Miller Show, on Twitter. Yep. And on Facebook, and we will announce soon.
And if you really want to see the studio, you can go to ustream.tv/Stephanie Miller. We have the cameras up.
There we are.
You know, they're not the best cameras like we had on current, but you can still see us
it's
and
not
hear us.
Real time, there's a little delay.
Well, we've got another neighbor that has Wi-Fi. She's on the internet. I don't have it. We come to my house to get current. We're all going to sneak through the woods and go through the holler and go to her house.
Oh, Peggy. All right, you're gonna get us on the TV again soon. But thanks for calling.
Tunnel.
I love the curtains drawn at Peggy's.
Yeah.
Wow.
They're gonna sneak through the holler.
Like it's illegal.
Yeah.
I got the current TV. Come on over.
It's like moonshine or something.
Yeah.
Peggy's making liberal moonshine.
Yeah, the holler.
They're escaping the revenue.
All right. Aw, that was cute. Peggy, we'll be back. Don't you worry. All right. And John Fugelsang will be back in a moment. He's doing an interview. Mm-hmm. Sexy liberal John Fugelsang in the New York Bureau. The father of the giant baby, Henry Jack, who made his appearance on
giant, he has two names.
On the final night of current TV last night. Yes, exactly. He is giant. I don't know if you've seen a picture of him. He's a giant child. As you know, I am the parent of giant dogs.
You are.
Max and Fred, most handsome romantic man in the world. But I have not tried this yet. A zoo in China tried to pass off this dog as an African lion.
Yeah, yeah. That's hilarious.
And they got away with it, too, until it started barking.
What's the matter with you?
Trying to pretend you're a lion. Stop it.
Oh. Yeah. By the way, if you've ever gone for a walk or hike with me, I've probably heard, I'm not sure, about 75,000 times in my life, polar bear.
Horse.
Polar bear.
Polar bear.
Polar bear. Yeah. We can ride saddle. Polar bear.
Yeah, I used to have a Great Dane. I used to get this stuff all the time, too.
Yeah. Hey, put a saddle on that thing.
Yeah. They think, everybody thinks it's the first time you've ever heard the joke. And here's my favorite. Big.
What? Yes. That's all they say?
Yes. Wow. Yes.
Firm grasp for the obvious.
Thank you, Captain Obvious. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. They are large dogs. Would you get us at the zoo to put them in? Okay. I'm sorry. I'm working out my aggression.
Apparently.
Okay,
Boy, this has really stuck in your craw.
Will they escape from the zoo?
And then for some reason, everyone has a hearing problem. Here, let me, you be me.
Okay.
What kind of dogs are those?
Great Pyrenees.
What kind?
Great Pyrenees.
What kind?
Great Pyrenees.
What? I never heard of that. What kind again?
Great Pyrenees.
I've seen some okay Pyrenees, but they're Great Pyrenees.
They're all polar bears. You can ride them. Yeah. You got a saddle?
I've heard that before. Thank you.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, am I not playing you anymore?
I heard that one.
Oh, no. We're done
now. Okay. Shorts. You got Great Pyrenees. See what I've done there?
Okay. This is just my time, personal time, when I work out my aggression.
Apparently.
Okay. And scene. All right. yes, here it is. A zoo in China tried to pass off this dog as an African lion. It's a Tibetan Mastiff.
Wow. Yeah.
Oh, he's handsome and huge.
He's got a mane. I will give them that. He's got a mane.
What, did they eat all the real lions?
That is kind of hilarious. They would have gotten away with it, as you said, if the dog did not. Shh,
hush.
Oh, my God. That is the best impression of a dog that any lion has ever done, isn't it?
Ruff, 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 ruff.
A zoo in the in eastern China.
It's like Chester.
I'm the one who's lying. You're not the lion.
Chester, my Saint Bernard.
Yes,
he was, didn't. It took him.
He was a little
7 years, and he still didn't recognize Jim. It's Jim. It's Jim. Jim. Chester, no. No. Chester, no. Jim. 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 All right. We haven't done that in quite some time. No. Wow. Wait. All right.
Yes, there's a stranger in the house. You've never seen him before.
Was caught trying to substitute a large Tibetan Mastiff for a full-size African lion, but claimed it had a good reason for the switcheroo. The director of the People's Park said it had to send its lion to the breeding facility.
Mm.
There was a problem with that lion. We had to send it to the shop.
Mm-hmm.
And the zoo decided to use the spare cage to house an employee's dog, which had to be taken out of its home over safety concerns.
Did they try to pass off a chihuahua as a
My sweet little tot, the fake Santa Claus lied. There's a light on this tree.
On this lion? the excuse might have been acceptable had the zoo not also tried to pass off another dog as a wolf, a white fox as a leopard, and two coyote rodents as snakes.
What's a coyote rodent?
No, I'm sorry, koi-pu rodent.
Oh.
Koi-pu? I don't know. It's a kind of Chinese rodent that looks like a snake, I guess. Most visitors were insulted by the deception and wondered why they were paying $2.45 to see knockoff animals. People would want to know what they could think of next. One wrote, earthworms as pythons, an eggplant disguised as a sea cucumber.
Oh, someone's snarky over there.
Jennifer in Fresno, she has Great Pyrenees as well. I'm sorry, Jen, what kind of dog again?
I have two Great Pyrenees.
What kind now? I've never heard of that. I'm just kidding.
I know. Yeah, really. Yeah, I think they're polar bears.
Do you get the same jokes?
I do every single time, and I actually walk with, usually I'll walk one at a time to get my kids from school. And my younger daughter can actually ride on the back of the bigger one, which I realize, you know, I shouldn't do that, but
right.
I left anyway.
Right. No,
and
you should not.
No, I shouldn't. But I get people all the time, oh, do you have a saddle for him? No, I let her ride bareback.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I know. That's the thing. I know people think that probably near where I live, I'm the biggest bitch in the world, Jennifer, because I've heard them, and I've had giant dogs like this. I've had Great Pyrenees for years and years. So I've heard literally all the same jokes probably 10 times a day for, you know, 15 years or so.
Exactly. I hear it every night on my walks.
Right, exactly. And you try to go, ha, 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 wow, that's funny.
Yeah.
And then Bob Filner comes up and says, yeah, you do have a Great Pyrenees.
Stop it. Here, Jennifer, I will offer you my game. This is Max's favorite game. I actually play Polar Bear on the Loose from the zoo with him. He loves it.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, we wrestle on the ground, and he opens his mouth like he's a ferocious polar bear.
And well, I'm terrified. Oh, I'm sorry, go on.
No, all of my friends can tell you there's a whole script for it. I'm like, who's a polar bear on the loose in the zoo? Get the nets! Get the tranquilizer dart! What about the children? He loves it.
I'm going to do that.
Okay,
I scared one of my neighbors. One of my dogs doesn't go on a leash, and he walks with me to get the mail at night because we've got those stupid central mailboxes.
Right.
And the guy got scared and jumped back into his truck thinking, I don't know, what are you thinking, that he's going to attack you or something? All he's going to do is lick you to death.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, you know, central mailboxes, it's, you know, small price to pay for all the other entertainment value in Fresno.
This is true.
Oh, come on.
Hey, we don't have much out here.
Kidding. Okay. Love you. Bye.
Fresno's a
Fresburg.
Nice.
Oh, it's nice. Mm. Farm.
Well, it's
country.
It's a little better than Stockton.
Okay, I will give you that. It's a little better than Stockton.
They should put that on the sign, Fresno.
We're not Stockton. We're not Stockton.
Better than Stockton. Meh. Sort of.
At least we're not Modesto.
Better.
Oh, no. Stuck in Lodi again.
Could be worse. Could be Bakersfield. All right. Can I have some marijuana music, please?
Sure.
We were just watching Dr. Sanjay Gupta talking about kids and marijuana.
Yep. And it's interesting. He's changed his position on medicinal marijuana.
What do he say now?
He says that he bought into the government's lies about marijuana, and now he is for the medicinal use of marijuana.
Wow! Won't turn you into loser townie guy?
It won't.
No. There's a little girl in
loser
New Jersey.
Loser townie guy.
What's
has
that?
Some horrible disease, and they think medical marijuana might be the cure for it, and they're trying to get Chris Christie to sign off on that.
Yeah. We'll see. Seattle cops to hand out ironic bags of Doritos at Hempfest. They have a sense of humor, Gawker says. With Washington's marijuana legalization initiative still in the process of taking effect, police in the state's largest city doing their part to educate partakers by doling out hundreds of bags of Doritos.
All right.
Hempfest, dude.
Most heinous.
A sticker attached to each bag directs attendees to a website where they can learn more about the do's and don'ts of Initiative 502.
Yeah. And sample all the toes products.
Right, exactly. Oh, you partake of all the toes. John Fugelsang's back, everybody.
Hi there, children.
Here he is. Fridays with Fugelsang.
Father of the giant baby needs two names. He's so big.
Yes.
Hello, John Fugelsang.
Hi, I get two groovy theme songs in one day.
You do.
I, by the way, you are, as you know, my personal comedy, Jesus.
Thank you, myself.
The ecclesiastical mook. Here he is.
Jesus.
All right, I normally...
You couldn't, a judge couldn't name, said you can't name a child Messiah?
Yeah, did you hear about that?
You
yes.
can name a kid Jesus. He was the Messiah.
Exactly.
Go on, sorry.
I know, I was on CNN about this topic, as I am every day, but I was not every day on this topic. On CNN every day. My point is, that's overreaching.
The judge said that it was an affront to religious people.
Oh, there's only one savior ever in the history of the world. Blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, yeah, that's overreaching. I mean, there's no law against parents being idiots.
We really need to have the separation of church and imbecile.
Yeah. Let's just name him Yeshua, the Aramaic
Yeshua.
Jesus. Yeshua.
Yes.
Yeshua.
Yeshua.
All right, well, I have, when we come back, a Bible-oriented Guess the Quote. Normally Jim gets to play, but today it is Bible Mook. We'll be playing with.
Great.
18 minutes after the hour. Right back. More Fridays with Fugelsang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Come on. Get it started. Come on. Get it started. Get it started. Let's get it started. Let's get it started in here. Let's get it started. Let's get it started in here.
In here. 22 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12 Fridays with John Fugelsang, sexy liberal in the New York Bureau of Stephanie Miller Incorporated and Sons and Flavin and stuff.
And Sons?
Okay, right. Jim, this is not for you. This is for the ecclesiastical mook.
Mm.
Are you ready? This is a Guess the Quote. This, okay. I think this may stump you.
I get to play the Jim Ward game?
Yes.
Okay. Mm,
who said, this country has a long discrimination, long history of discrimination against certain groups. Eventually, we wind up getting it right. Against women, against blacks, the civil rights movement, and so on. And in justifying that discrimination when it was in place, some folks turned to the Bible and turned to their religious beliefs. And we have said we have to have slavery because it's in the Bible. Women have to be second-class citizens because that's in the Bible. Blacks and whites can't get married because that's in the Bible. That wound up in a case. A judge wrote that in that opinion, in which the Supreme Court ultimately struck that down, saying, that's not right, Judge. The Equal Protection Clause says you can't do that. Why is gay marriage any different? Who said that?
Hermione Gingold.
In the tradition of Jim Ward, a spectacularly bad guess.
I'm going for the spectacularly arcane pop culture.
Yeah, who is Hermione Gingold?
What's that?
Who's Hermione Gingold?
Jim, tell him. You know who Hermione Gingold was.
She's,
an old actress?
The Music Man?
Yes, right. Music Man, that's right. Oh.
Yes, there you go. All right.
I tried to go for old Hollywood.
Right.
No, it was Megan.
I was trying to remember what I'd seen her in.
Megyn Kelly of Fox News.
Oh, my.
Which is why a conservative group has targeted her as part of Fox News' new pro-gay agenda.
Nothing
Megyn. Well, I don't think Megyn Kelly's too worried about that. She's too busy measuring for curtains in Sean Hannity's old office.
Exactly. That's what they cite. It is the, what's the name of it? Oh, America's Survival. Is a new study from a group called American Survival laments the egregious pro-homosexual advocacies of Fox News' new primetime host Megyn Kelly. The group sees a devious shift in Fox's treatment of homosexuals via the removal of Sean Hannity.
Oh, yes, they're
noted
so right.
Noted homophobe.
Keep fighting this fight. Keep fighting this fight. Yes.
Yeah. They write, pushing Sean Hannity out of the 9 p.m. slot to make way for pro-homosexual advocate Megyn Kelly is another sign of the channel's leftward drift and decline.
And her three children.
Right.
And her
sexual husband.
Marriage. Yes.
Right.
And her relentlessly right-wing newscasting in the afternoons.
Yes, exactly. The report includes a lengthy section titled Fox News Joins the Pro-Homosexual Media Bandwagon, in the group, which the group wrings its hands over how Fox News has increasingly adopted a libertarian brand of conservatism that eschews or downplays social issues, especially homosexuality, as too divisive. The emergence of this neutral or shallow coverage of homosexuality has been exacerbated, John, by the pro-LGBT advocacy of hosts like Kelly, Bill O'Reilly.
Yeah, oh, yes.
Bill O'Reilly?
Oh, yes. How many pride parades have I had to deal with them?
Wow.
Yeah, we're here, we're queer, we're Fox News.
Each pro-gay Fox host has their own special section in the report, in which ASI chronicles the many ways these on-air personalities defy conservative values and whatnot.
Bill so O'Reilly couldn't be pro-gay with poppers and a glow stick, okay? I he could only be less anti-gay. This is great. I love these people. Thank you, bigots. Before, see, political correctness, as you know, really works kind of as douchebag cloaking device. And I
right.
say get rid of that. Let your freak hate flag fly. If we know who the bigots are, it saves us so much time having to get to know them first. So
like, for instance,
bigots.
Our friend Brian Fisher of the, what is that, the Family
oh,
Radio?
Oh, man,
hour?
If there's a guy.
American
if,
Family
Radio Show.
If thing.
Ever
something.
There was a man that just needed to teabag another man and get on with its life,
right.
It's Brian
right,
Fisher,
right,
please.
Right. This, I think conspiracy theories have reached new heights. He says what now?
Oh,
that the he believes the president was photoshopped into the Situation Room photo during the Bin
yes.
Laden
raid.
Yes,
yeah.
And he has such credibility, he can go on the news and talk about that, and the mainstream corporate media will give him a platform because he says he's a reverend of some kind.
Of some sort, yes.
I just found out something about Hermione Gingold. She was in the movie version of The Pickwick Papers. I was in the play version of that.
Oh, my God.
Yes. Well, there
so
you
we
go.
Something in common.
All right. We will never get that 10 seconds of our life.
I'll try and go. Jim. I'll try and go more arcane on my next
one. Wow. By the way, so we've been talking about, I love the Chiron on TV this morning, uh-huh. Rodeo clown controversy. Yes. And, you know, the racist rodeo clown in Missouri.
Yeah.
And really the failure there was the president's failure to show leadership by saying that, that was really funny. That's according to Rush Limbaugh and Peggy Noonan, John, that
but I thought it was wrong. I thought it was wrong to fire the guy. I thought it was wrong to fire him.
Did you see that Mediaite did a study of who was talking about this? And it seems that conservative media are talking about this way more than, you know, quote-unquote liberal media are.
Yes.
Really.
Yes. I've never seen Rush Limbaugh so exercised mm-hmm. over the horrible victimizing of the racist rodeo clown.
He should be a rodeo clown. I'd love to see that.
Yeah,
actually.
You know, and it's like, it'd be great if the media could talk about the cowards that populate rodeos who get off on animal torture, because that's
right.
what a rodeo really is.
Uh-huh.
It's not the racism of one guy who's an actual clown acting like a clown. It's the
yes,
fact that this is a bunch of people
animal torture meets
who,
Klan rally. Which
people who
yeah.
get off, well, they're not all racist, but this is people who get off on animal torture.
Mm-hmm.
If you're into modern rodeo, you're into animal torture, and you're proof that humans might not exactly be top of the food chain. That's the real scandal. But this guy got fired. How many offensive Bush protests were there? Eddie Vedder used to you know, hang a puppet on stage every night. It's like, come on, man. Let's get off our political correct high horse. This was a conservative rodeo that fired a conservative clown.
I know. I disagree with you, though. It was everybody, you know, people that were there, it was just blatant. It was a minstrel show.
It was, playing with the mask's lips that
but
I think.
And we're going to deal with that no matter what because it's a black president in a room full of white people. If it had been a Bill Clinton mask, would the outrage have been as fierce?
Well, yeah, but I think that's the problem, John. There is something more egregious about how blatantly racist. You know? I
mean,
and not
you.
Only that, but it was encouraging violence, obviously, against the president. I mean, how many times could he say, who wants to see Obama run down by bulls?
But
you
that's
know?
Like Eddie Vedder hanging a Bush puppet on stage around the neck with his noose. You know, it's like the left did it, too. It's like the guy's a loser, but, I mean, it's a room full of losers. I'm more offended by the animal torture.
Mm-hmm.
All right, 29 minutes after the hour, back with more Fridays with Fugelsang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I won't let you down. I'll be the best little capitalist princess you ever had.
Oh, that's not true. Unless, of course, you're paying $4.95 a month for the Stephcast, which we highly recommend.
Uh-huh.
34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Fridays with John Fugelsang in the New York Bureau. We were talking about the racist rodeo clown in Missouri.
Yeah, I'm getting a lot of hate from the fans
now.
Getting hate from the fans now.
Take
I'm
it.
Sorry.
Take it like a man.
All right, look, what the racist rodeo clown did
was really wrong.
You agree
with Rush Limbaugh. You agree
what the racist rodeo clown did was really wrong, and it was really racist, blah, blah, blah. However, what they do to animals at rodeos is worse.
All right. Well,
What they do to animals at rodeos is worse than what a racist rodeo clown does.
And we've talked about this before.
But no one's ever outraged. We're never talking about rodeos. It takes a racist to make us talk about how screwed up rodeos are.
Not quite as bad as bullfighting. But.
You know what it is, John?
Yeah, bullfighting is even worse. Yeah. Bullfighting is horrible.
Exactly. It's a pattern of racist behavior toward this president that anybody that's being honest recognizes. I mean, and this, by the way, was only one incident of many in the last just few weeks.
He was out here in Phoenix,
and the crowd, there was a group singing Bye Bye Black Sheep at the president.
Disgusting people. Yeah. Horrible racist people. And all the proof you need about how racist the forces aligned against this president are, and they're not all bigots. They don't all have hatred in their heart, but they're racist. They're part of the problem. The fact that Ted Cruz has not been asked to show a birth certificate tells you how racist Obama's enemies are. If you ever ask to see a birth certificate, you don't ever get to say Ted Cruz for president. You're not allowed. God will kill you if you do that.
Yeah. I think what my fans are trying to say to you, John, is...
Don't f*** with me, fellas! This ain't my first time at the rodeo.
Chris in Chicago on radio.
Yeah, you have some idiots, by the way, saying that I'm talking like the history of blacks and whites in America is the same. I'm not saying that, idiots. I'm saying I didn't say that. What I'm saying is that rodeos are horrible. Racism is horrible. But animal torture is worse than a racist acting like a racist that is at a rodeo.
That's why I called today, Jen. I've attended Sexy Liberal twice. I love you guys. Hello?
Hello.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I've also attended the many national rodeos. And, John, they rank those animals, and so it's to their advantage that they keep them well. I will agree that one of the events is the toughest probably to watch, which is tie-down roping, which is for calves. But, but John, really, the national rodeos, you may see some other things at the local rodeos, but they do rank those animals. Their safety is always to bring all the horses out. The bucking straps come off. The rowels on their spurs aren't sharp. They're basically there for only gliding along their bodies. And I actually wrote to the Professional Rodeo Cowboy Association because I was horrified. I saw their statement. Their statement made sense. And the worst part of this thing, more than the racism, obviously, is that this is a family thing, and this is teaching children, that's what's wrong with it, and that's why he needed to be fired. This is showing children disrespect for any president. And I wrote to them, and I said, I went and they complained that Clinton didn't serve, and that was what they held against Clinton, but I never saw a Clinton mask.
Clinton didn't dodge the draft.
I do think there is a difference. I'm not saying, John, I think it's bad to disrespect the office of presidency, the presidency in any way.
I agree.
But the racial element is worse. You know,
I agree, but
yes, it would have been just as bad as saying who wants to run Clinton down with a bull, because it implies violence toward the president. But the racial part was... You know, as Chris said, the playing with the lips on the Obama mask was like.
And I'm sorry, I hadn't seen the lips part. What I'm saying is, if that's the case, I didn't know. That's a part of me now. I've learned that, so I'm with you. What I'm saying is that liberals said and did horrible things to Bush, and Bush deserved it. I don't think Obama deserves it, but the fact is.
I disagree. I didn't know that Eddie Vedder had done that, and I disagree with that he
Vedder. Darth Vedder.
Did we vet my pronunciation? but you know what I mean? I didn't know that he'd hung. I think that's obviously implies
violence.
Listen,
I'm not defending this racist clown, but I repeat myself, most racists are clowns. What I'm saying is I'm more offended by animal torture. I'm more offended by, you know, life-threatening injuries.
I'm not more offended.
broken bones.
I'm equally offended.
inflicting physical pain on animals and calf roping these cowards to amuse their children.
Okay, but we treated, I think the context of this historically is we treated blacks like animals. And so
absolutely,
you know,
we did.
They're human beings, and that's why I think this kind, especially in 2013, this sort of racist stuff is.
Well,
just,
and that speaks to the even greater outrage that we have a large portion of this population in this country that doesn't take slavery seriously.
2 weeks ago, the president
don't take
was somewhere,
the black experience seriously.
There was a person with a sign, "Kenyan socialists go home."
Yep. Like, in Mesa,
and you know how racist these people are? These people are now saying, well, Ted Cruz's mother was American, and so if he was born in Canada, it's okay. But if Barack Obama had been born in Kenya, as you racists claimed he was, and everyone who said it is a racist, then his mother was American, too. So your own logic shows what a racist
you
are.
There you go. Jimmy in California. Hey, Jim.
I'm with you, Fugel, saying I agree 100%, my friend. I got to say, I'm a liberal. I'm as liberal as they come. But what bothers me is there's too many liberals that say any time that a Mitch McConnell or this and that says, oh, Obama's Obama, that says, oh, he's a racist. At some point, we got to get past that and deal with the fact that some are Republicans and some are Democrats. Yes, there's a lot of racists out there, and I will never, ever, I can't
who's
stand
ever,
that.
Who's called Mitch McConnell a racist?
I'm not suggesting you have. I'm saying that the racist card is playing way too much on the liberal side. And we're jumping the shark with that. At some point, we just have to accept the fact that people are going to disagree with our president, and it has nothing to do with his skin color.
Yeah, but now, it is specifically about race in many instances.
I'm not suggesting that's not the case. What I'm saying is when it isn't, like, for instance, to your point, when that idiot Sarah Palin said shuck and jive or whatever she said.
Thank you.
Obviously. Yep. Yeah, no, but that's my point. But when other people say stuff that isn't racist and then certain people say it is racist, that's when we need people.
But it's context.
I don't always cry race. I cry race when it's about race.
I'm sorry, but it's context. I mean, you look, what's the rule with the N-word, right? It's audience, context, purpose. When Sarah Palin comes out and says shuckin' and jivin', she is being derisive and she is insulting the president using old black folklore. And it is racist of her to do it. I'm not saying she's a bigot. I'm sure she loves black men who think and talk and dress and vote just like her. But it's racist when she did it because it was done to be mean.
Mm-hmm. By the way, the Stephanie Miller Show does wish to apologize to Mitch McConnell and any of his relatives from the Galapagos Islands if we have ever implied anything.
You're a speciesist.
Apologize.
Turtleist.
Apologize if I was turtleist. Jim in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with John. Hello, Jim.
Yeah. How you doing, Steph?
Hi.
First time calling. John, I like you, man. 90%.
Oh, here it comes. Okay.
But yeah, you always seem to give these racists a pass, and that's why I think.
Okay, tell me how I'm giving a racist a pass.
Whenever there's something happening, someone is clear. Well, clear to me as an African American male, I can get the dog whistle words. I know what they're saying. I know what they mean. I know how they feel. And then you sit there and say, "Oh, they're not racist, or maybe they're racist, but it doesn't mean this."
Who did I say wasn't racist? Who did I say wasn't racist? Hang on a second. Who did I say wasn't racist?
Those are few that I really don't.
Hang on a second, pal. You're gonna come here and talk to me this way and not have any specifics to back yourself up? Is that right?
You just said you didn't believe with the rodeo clown. You just said you didn't believe that it was.
He didn't. Oh, I didn't know about the lips part, though.
I didn't know about the lips part, and I said I didn't know that it was right to fire him or not because liberals did a lot of stuff like that on Bush wearing Bush masks.
I don't think it was right to fire him because he displayed some racist things toward the president. And that's
look,
why people...
But no, people, I said liberals wore Bush masks, like man. I'm talking about critiquing the president.
Like, that's like why people like me in New York can constantly get harassed because the majority of the people in America that has the power, which mostly are Caucasian, seem to dismiss this because it doesn't affect their lives.
You're making an enemy out of an ally, my friend. You weren't listening on the last hour when I was talking about how I'm in New York. I'm talking now, my friend. You hit a period. I'm talking. I was saying... You called to tell me... You called me to say I'm soft on racist.
But when people display racist behavior, you give them a pass.
Who did I give a pass to?
Jim, I understand what you're talking.
I hope you're enjoying this, Steph. Have more people call up and call me a racist.
I don't think he's calling. You know, John, I think what
you're saying. I'm soft on racist. After I'm here talking about stop and frisk, I'm talking about the double standard on Ted Cruz. I'm talking about the Voting Rights Act, and you're going to call up here and lay this crap on me, sister? I don't think so.
Oh,
animal problem,
Jim.
I'm more offended. Hello? Listen, my friend, right, we're Jim? On the same side, my friend. What I'm right, saying every, is okay, I was offended every, by the animal torture before the racist put his stupid mask on.
Wow, that was all just like Robert De Niro there for a minute. He's talking
well,
to me.
Sorry, I don't.
You're looking
I listen,
at me, buddy.
Well, I've been on your show talking about racism for 2 hours, yeah, and now right, this guy wants to call up and tell me I'm soft on racism. You don't have to have my back on this, but I'm just telling you.
Of course, you're
not
a racist.
Get away with
but
it.
See, this is the point we were talking about. We were talking about how many you know, black callers we've had this week that showed that real kind of emotion, John. Because you and I don't know what it's like to walk outside every day of our lives and go, "Oh, there's a cop. Am I going to get thrown
absolutely
on the ground and frisked?"
That's why,
because
that's why we covered
and they're
stop
emotional,
and
yes.
We've covered stop and frisk on my show almost every night, but one thing that I've become very conscious of now is I'm trying, and this is just me, I'm trying to draw a distinction between the terms bigot and racist. And I'll tell you why, because I think more and more that racism is institutionalized bigotry, where you don't have to, look, do I think Paula Deen hates black people? I don't. And you can show me any racist in the Republican Party, but you bring in Herman Cain or Dr. Ben Carson, and they'll be kissing their feet, which tells me that they're not bigots necessarily, they don't have hate in their heart, but they have institutionalized bigotry in them, and they conform to stereotypes, they believe stereotypes, they perpetuate and reinforce stereotypes, and I'm trying to find the difference in terms of the language. Because I don't think all these people hate black people, they sure love Herman Cain.
Right. Dave is calling me out of being a hypocrite. Stephanie, regarding disrespecting the president, or I remind you of Chimpy McCookspoon. Stephanie Miller Show wishes to apologize. That was disrespecting George W. Bush. However, he did look like a chimp, and he did have a history of using cocaine.
Yes.
Other than that,
yes, he did.
I apologize. Okay. So we've all been called out. All right. 45
and
minutes.
Furthermore,
Jim, he frequently came to periods and did not stop. I will give you that, John.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I don't think he was calling you a racist, do you?
I think he was calling me soft on racism.
At one point, he did call you racist, but then he pulled back.
An hour and a half talking about Voting Rights Act, stop and frisk, how the birther racism. I mean, I've been saying that birtherism is racism, whether you know it or not. And I don't care how many black friends you have. If you have never once asked a Caucasian politician to show his birth certificate, and you demand this president shows it, you are being racist, whether you have hate in your heart or not.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Absolutely. 46 minutes after the hour, back with the remaining moments of Fridays with Buglesang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
The ongoing train wreck aside, I love this.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Let me be your dirty laundry. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Sexy liberal John Fuglesang in the New York Bureau for Fridays with Fuglesang, 1-800-STEPH-12. Von Seal in Asheville. Bonjour.
Excuse me, bonjour. Hello.
And you have a French frog in your throat. Go ahead.
I know, and my husband is outside.
Die.
Yeah.
I had something I was going to say, but I have changed my mind. I want to reassure the caller who got into it with John that I have followed John's career for a long, long time, and even though he is the whitest person alive,
translucent,
that
albinos
not,
call me honky.
Really, not a bigoted or racist bone in his body, and I really appreciate that you're trying to draw that line between racism and bigotry, because I think it's an important distinction to make.
When I was growing up down south, I'd have relatives who would say the N-word all the time, and they all had a lot of black friends. And
John,
then I'd come up north, and I'd have relatives who would never say the N-word, and they did not like black people, but they wouldn't say the N-word. And
I'm a lifelong Southerner myself, and now I have the double whammy being from Texas and North Carolina, the states that are turning into crazy town right before our very eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And my Southern relatives never use that word.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Never, because my grandfather.
Listen, and I've talked about that. I grew up in upstate New York, and I there were a couple of friends' families that I can think of that use the N-word all the time. And
my point was about the thing. Look, there's free speech. The rodeo's allowed to fire the guy if they want. And I didn't know about the lifts thing. Now that I've heard that, it's disgusting. But the fact is, I was offended by rodeos long before this tool.
And they
did
came
this
out
thing.
Of a tradition of cowboys showing off their skills.
Oh, that sounds great.
On the cattle drive.
There's lots of rodeo activities that aren't animal torture, but the rodeo activities that are animal torture are cowardly, and they're not for children to see for entertainment. And that's the stuff that offended me, the animal abuse, long before
this guy
put his mask on.
Well, yeah, I'm glad that rodeo fan mentioned the calf roping, too, because I'm like, it doesn't take an animal expert to go, that calf's really not enjoying that.
Well, as Whoopi Goldberg would say, it's rodeo is a southern thing.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of southern things that are awesome, and a lot of rodeo things
the way she just used that to dismiss.
Hush puppies are awesome.
Yeah, but she to dismiss, animal torture.
Yeah, and there's a lot of it is animal torture. And a lot of the folks in the bleachers, are not close, and not all injuries that are immediately visible for people in the bleachers.
Yeah,
These animals have broken bones and muscle pulls and saddle blisters and flank strap wounds. And, if the animal doesn't drop dead in front of the bleachers, people don't often know something's wrong. And rodeos can be really, really cruel. So all I was saying was it is not being pro-racist to say that I was offended by the inhumanity of rodeos long before I was offended by the inhumanity of a racist clown acting like a racist clown.
Charlie in St. Paul on rodeos. You're on with John. Hey, Charlie.
Hey, Mama. I just wanted to defend you against that person who wrote the email saying that the chimpy McCokespoon was anywhere close to the violent imagery that was used in the race rodeo.
Yeah.
I mean, that was just a ridiculous comparison.
Yeah, exactly. As is Bill Maher calling him Drinky McDumbass. Just saying, based on truth. Okay. Amy in L.A. on Team John. Hi, Amy.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
I am on Team John.
There's no team. We're all on the same
team. We're all on
that
the same
guy team. Who called before, he's my friend. Even if he doesn't get me on this, we're allies. We're all and the haters on Twitter, I'm on your side. So you can hate me all you want. I'm not going to fight you back.
No I in team, Amy. Go ahead.
Well, you just need to, I'm so glad you're bringing up the rodeo issue itself, because that is really the bigger picture that should be showcased. And if you are interested to find out a little bit more, you can find out about Shark. They videotape all the injuries that are never talked about by the Rodeo Association. So I wouldn't take their word for it that they're not cruel. But as far as the black mask, they have been doing this for a long time on a lot of it. They always attack the politicians. So I don't know if it's exactly racist, but I think the crowd, the way they reacted, you could tell they were feeding into that type of mentality.
That's right, Amy, and that's the thing. Exactly. It's like the definition of pornography. I mean, people that were there, racism when you see it.
Absolutely.
Somebody said that it felt like a Klan rally.
Yeah. The last thing I just want to say is I think we need to also move away from the bigotry or the racial, saying they're racist. What I've been using is they have animosity. And so if you say racial animosity, that's a harder thing for them to be able to argue against, because there really truly is that animosity. It doesn't mean that they want to, do lynchings or anything like that. And I think
they would make their case more strongly if they really called out the stuff that is racial. They just try to blanketly say, this is ridiculous. It's all PC. Nothing's racial. It's like, a picture of the president with a bone through his nose is not racial? I mean,
Exactly. And, the underlying level of hypocrisy in all these people is this is the president who's fighting for you, you ignorant rodeo racist, more than the racist you vote for in the GOP. This is a president who's fighting for the middle class, who's fighting for struggling workers. But the GOP comes out and tells y'all exactly what y'all want to hear about abortion and gay marriage and Mexicans. So you keep voting these aristocrats back into office and your lives never get better and the trickle down never hits you. Barack Obama cares about you more than any anchor on Fox News, and you repay him by making him a joke.
Chris in St. Louis, you're on with John. Hi, Chris.
Hey, I've been listening to you for a long time, and I finally figured out what's the problem with people like me. Is this? It's not the fact that the mask is like George Bush. Fine. Now, see, they hate this president because of the color of his skin. It is not the mask. And when people start saying, I don't think they're racist and this, that's just covering up the fact that they are racist. And liberals need to call it like it is.
Yeah, I think you're right. There's the First Amendment issue. We got the First Amendment issue. How do we get away with wearing Bush masks under Bush and then say you can't wear Obama masks under Obama?
Chris, I think it's disrespecting the presidency in both cases. There is an added element of racism.
It's not a complaint with the mask. Okay, they put a mask on. But see, they do this to him because they don't like the color of his skin.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
You know, I think you're right.
Liberals keep calling. See, liberals are not strong. They are weak because they will not stand up. They will put all kinds of words on top of what it really is. Call it what it is.
Yeah.
It is racist because if they had a mask on Obama's mask like they had, every president had a mask. Okay, so what?
All right. Well, we are out of time, but wow, that was I'm invigorated. That was...
Hey, I'm glad I could bring the comedy for the last 20 minutes.
Yeah,
hey,
John.
I'm too glad I stuck around for the extra hour. That was delightful. No, listen, I love you, Steph, and I love all
you
your
too,
listeners.
Baby.
And we're all on the same side. We all don't like the racist douchebags. We're just trying to figure out what the best way to handle them is.
I love you, translucent man.
Thank you.
All right. We will see you Monday on The Stephanie Miller Show.